everybody loves Donna, Mike.
If I could just break the sanctity of the opening of the show. What the hell was going on there? I mean,
it's different. Why
I'm here on a holiday, for God's sakes. I'm working on Passover.
Unless you're for it.
I'm here on a holy day.
I passed over the show open in celebration of the day. That was my fault. My bad.
Oh. Rob's Bean
Whack. So that's what started us off on this mundane.
Happy Passover, Mike.
Thanks. Same to you, Don.
This is Michael Hoffman, and you're listening to Jew to Jew. The Don and Mike
Show. You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Loves you, pretty baby.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hello.
Who loves you?
Hello.
We love you. Hi, Jerry.
Hello.
Hello. Okay. Hi, Dynamite.
Hello. Hello. Hello.
Okay. Hi, Bobby.
How have you been?
I'm well. Very well indeed. Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. The Tasting Room. And all the ships at sea. Dance, monkey, dance!
Dance, monkey.
For Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Yeah, thank you, Rob.
Hello!
Oh, yeah. Now, Mike.
Hello!
Why the lack of energy here at the opening of the show?
No, just dealing with more bad news, but I'm fine.
Well, let me just get into a good groove here. And today it's the Don and Mike Show. Buzz has on the gayest sweater I've ever seen in my life.
He's a symphony in pink.
That's right. It takes a man secure.
That's right, secure.
With his femsexuality. It's not a metrosexual, it's not a heterosexual. He's a femsexual. Is that what they're calling it now?
Not my favorite term, really. A guy wearing a pink sweater.
Is that a new pink sweater, buddy?
Well, yes, it is, as a matter of fact. It's cashmere, don't you know?
It's lovely.
Yeah.
Good song. Good album. Mm-hmm. Don and Mike Show, and it's a new episode, Mike, on this Monday. And it's 04252504. Buzz?
Yes. Hi, Don and Mike. Buzz Burbank here. No, he's not retarded. Just admiring my sweater.
What's going on here? No, he's really not retarded. Hello? Okay, here's how you can call us at the Don and Mike Show from anywhere in America. Toll-free number is 877-365-3636. From Canada, from Mexico, 800-636-1067. If you're lucky enough to be listening on WJFK FM in Washington, one of the top, incidentally, just rated...
Mm-hmm.
And not by ratings, but by quality of broadcasting and by quality of surroundings and quality of employment.
Right. Where do we rank?
Ranked among the top 10,000 radio stations in America.
Bravo! Finally. Thought we'd never make it.
Okay, we're number 10,000.
That's very exciting.
But we are broadcasting in super high fidelity.
Is there somebody that's 10,001?
I think the list stopped at 10,000.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. How many radio stations? Here you go, Head. How many radio stations are there currently in America?
There are 22,400, I think.
That I'm just getting...
He's lying. I know now when you lie like that.
10,001, though, is a Don and Mike affiliate. I guarantee you that.
Very good.
Make an educated guess. How many radio stations? I don't think there's 10,000 stations in America.
I would guess 9,000.
Then our ranking is probably right.
All right.
Then number 10,000.
Sure.
And number 10,000.
Of course, a few dark signals came in ahead of us.
The Four Seasons. And Who Loves You? Just go ahead and announce that. Joe said that people have been wondering what the songs are, since there's a different song every day at the beginning of the show. And that's who that is. Who Loves You? Hello there. John and Mike Show.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
I'm upset.
Why are you upset, sir?
The asparagus festival's over.
Oh, was it this weekend?
Oh, in Sacramento?
You know, it makes your number one green.
Yeah, and also, and there must difference. Be that smell. But how do you tell in Sacramento?
Yeah, that's true. Isn't that the smell of all of Sacramento?
Isn't it...
I'm at Stockton makes it green.
Right.
Where do they hold the asparagus festival? Is it in Stockton?
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, it's much snow in Sacramento, but we know what year it is. It's 2005, not 2004.
Oh, is that what I said? My apologies.
That's all right.
Are you calling from Sacramento with that tude?
Oh, he hung up. Ass. Hat. That's okay. Hello.
At least you know what year it is, Don.
Well, and it's dumb of me. I had 2005 written down.
I know. I know. We're just used to it still.
Perhaps I was blinded by the glow.
It was a great year.
Is that from the Ryan Seacrest collection?
Yeah, the sweater?
Your sweater?
No.
Your blouse?
No, it's not. No.
Hello, Don and Mike. It's very bright pink.
You're wearing a Green Bay sweater that I've seen you wear a bunch of times.
It's my lucky Green Bay sweater.
Ah, you know, hello? The draft yesterday.
Yeah, hello.
Don and Mike.
Yeah.
Hey, did you watch the draft on Saturday?
Yeah. Although not as religiously as I normally do, but I am so jacked that the Packers got that guy Aaron Rodgers at 24. That is a freaking steal, and he's going to be the next Brett Favre.
So he's going to segue right from Brett Favre. When Brett Favre retires, he'll slide into the driver's seat, and it'll be another dynasty for Green Bay.
That's what I think, Mike.
All right, good.
That's what I think.
For you.
Does this guy like Bills?
Do you like the Vike?
Is he from the Bayou?
No, he's from California.
Oh.
He's from...
Totally.
He's from California. He's
gnarly.
He was either the number one or number two rated quarterback in the draft. Fell all the way to number 24. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, I was just wondering if Buzz's sweater had a little red dot on it.
No, why would it?
Why would it?
I thought he got it maybe on the cheap rack. Oh, and also, did Bogo wax?
Hold on, I remember that from a Seinfeld episode, right?
Right.
That there was a sweater, I think, maybe Jerry bought it for Elaine, and there was a small spot, isn't that it? There was a small spot on this cashmere sweater. The guy hung up.
A lot of people seem to be doing that.
The guy
hitting and running.
I don't care.
Sometimes it's wise. Well.
You're not going to wear that to motorcycle school, are you?
I thought I would. You think it'd be a problem with that?
Okay, go ahead.
Will the other boys make fun of me?
Go ahead, Mike.
Bent.
Get it out of the way.
Right. I'm pissed. I'm pissed off.
I know you are, and you have a tendency to that.
I'm pissed off for two things. I'm pissed off because, first of all, I cleared the docket to get this class, which I was told was going to be Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of this week. And then I was told, no, it's not going to be until Thursday of this week.
No.
And, you know, when it's 7 to 10, which for me is like getting up in the middle of the night
because
we're not doing the morning show and driving to East wherever. And then I find out, Mike, let me finish.
Hold on, can I just tell you something?
I want to finish.
Don't ruin my Passover, please.
Sorry. And then I find out that the place where we're going to learn to ride these things, which was, you know, super far away, and I'd psyched myself, well, it's worth it, you're going to learn to ride. Now I find out it's super, super, super
farther away.
And during that particular time of day, which is known, I guess, in most places as rush hour, it's just going to be a pain in the ass. And so I'm very concerned that we're not getting... The straight skinny, the real story.
Hold on,
as far as what's going on here.
For the uneducated here, and I'm counting myself.
Wasn't I supposed to take this motorcycle course?
Starting tomorrow,
at 7 a.m.
Right.
I was pumped for it. I was getting ready to, you know, get there, and we were going to do the classroom training tomorow. That's the way I understood it, right?
And we're going to start in the classroom, that would be scheduled for Thursday.
For Thursday, right.
This week. So it's been pushed back a couple of days.
Yeah.
The location.
You called the guy, what, on Friday?
We're working on, yes.
And he called you today.
Yeah,
right before the show.
We had a weekend, and now we're conducting business again.
No, but Rob, it's not a stunt driving class.
We're still working on it. It's not dead yet. It's not over yet.
Okay, so I should stop venting?
Maybe for now.
All right. I'm going to be incorrigible in that class, though.
I look forward to that.
I'm going
to
be a delinquent.
I'd be disappointed if you weren't.
I'll be paying attention, but I'll be paying attention much like in the movie Lean on Me.
Those thugs.
That's how I'm going to be that kind
of thing. But what if your teacher is one of those guys that walks around the high school with a baseball bat?
Do you know the thing is, though, I remember...
isn't that the movie Lean on Me?
That's Lean on Me with Morgan Freeman. You know?
Yes.
Yes, you've got to remember this. They are not learning to read.
What's the one where the guy is the principal of the Detroit High School and he locks the doors of the school and he walks around with a baseball bat?
Well, that is, it's not Detroit, it's a Jersey school. It's is it Joe Brown?
Yeah.
Joe Brown is the name of the guy.
And that's not the judge Joe Brown.
It's Joe Brown, the principal. And
Rob, before you say it, I know they're both Joe Brown.
Yeah, it's very good.
If you're going to smoke crack, why don't you just jump off the roof? I was watching this.
I know that you know Joe Brown. Brown.
Right. It's a predicate nominative and adjective.
So we'll keep you posted on the motorcycle we class will. And let you know what's going on.
So you do.
I had a reaction to Buzz when he told me that it was going to be. You know, not at the course wasn't going to be where it was supposed to be. It's going to be further now at 7 o'clock.
We're still learning facts and negotiating.
But,
so
it's not tomorrow. There is no motorcycle
class. No, and I have my phone tomorrow. You know, because I was it's going to be this week. And we were going to knock it out in 2 weeks.
Do they still welcome spectators?
You can look. I don't know. Can they bring? I believe that's legal. You want to come watch?
Oh, not me. I was just thinking for the listener.
As that. No.
It was a joke.
Then the answer is no.
Well, you can bet I'll be there.
All right.
So it's Thursday.
For the first class, yes. For the classroom work.
First class. And hey, Mike, you're going first class.
And that can be morning or evening, and that's over here, right by the radio station.
Well, we had discussed, so that can be flexible.
So that much is good, and we'll work out the rest of it.
Okay. All right, good. I'll rely on you to do that. And,
I will.
If you want me to make a phone call, I will.
You know, if I need some muscle, I'll lean on you.
Well, I just could be a little more, you know. I think you're a very flexible guy.
I'm very cooperative.
You're very cooperative.
Easy to get along with.
Right.
I don't want any trouble.
Right. You're also an hour closer.
Yes.
Basically, at that time of day.
Also true.
Right. So, I don't know. Maybe at that time. If you're driving, I have a question for morning commuters. If you are driving at, say, 6 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Can you, I mean, has it started in earnest at 6 a.m.?
Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah. You don't have to ask the people. I used to drive my kid to school at that. Yes, it starts at 5.
Yeah.
Bad traffic starts at 5 a.m.
Okay.
Yeah, it was even going to be backed up at 7, you know, that we were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You were concerned.
7's bad, too?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, 7 is what we have to be at this location by 7, and now the location is, what, conservatively 40 minutes further?
Yes.
Yeah.
Why don't you chop her in?
Give me a chopper.
Why don't you like E to E? I just chop her in.
I kind of thought it was a motorcycle. If you had a little open pavement, that's all you really needed. That's uh-huh. what, you know.
Now, there are official courses in order to get a real motorcycle license.
Okay. All right, I'm going to do it anyway. I've come around. I was so excited about this.
Yeah.
And I was so prepared to start tomorrow.
I know.
That I'm actually now going to calm down and I'm going to do it. Even though I said, you know, I believe there were some expletives uttered out in the hallway there.
Yes, I
know. Yeah, the combination of the disappointment of not being able to start when I wanted to start. I was pumped. I was ready for this. And then the guy just casually, Thursday.
I was hoping the pink sweater would calm you.
It's not calming me. I'm ready for my hog, man.
Not even had a class yet. I mean, already you two are fighting.
I wanted to start. I'm not fighting him.
I don't fight.
I'm not fighting him. I don't think he's getting treated like Buzz Burbank should be treated.
Live
phone calls not returned.
Hello. Promptly. Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, guys. That was Joe Clark, not Joe Brown.
Joe Clark. Yes.
Joe Clark,
thank you, my friend.
And I'm injecting. Bye-bye.
That's good. That's a good correction.
No, we needed that one. Thank you.
We didn't know the name. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, guys. The guy's name is Joe Clark. And it's from Eastside High School in New Jersey.
Right.
Eastside High. Yes, thank you for the correction.
Everybody's calling now.
He called himself Crazy Joe, but they call him Batman, too.
Crazy Joe.
Joe.
Same with Joe Ardinger.
Crazy.
You will sing the school song on demand?
Hello. Don and Mike Show.
Mazel tov, my Shabbos boys.
Right. Mazel tov, Rabbi.
Right. Happy Passover.
Yeah, I was calling to ask Rob if he celebrated Passover like I did, with a nice bait laser and cooking up something kosher in the oven.
Rob, did you celebrate last night?
I was told you don't celebrate, you observe.
You don't celebrate, sir, you observe, Rob said.
All right, I was observing. Thank you.
Okay,
thank you.
Rob, sounds like you're a better Jew than that guy is.
Shalom.
I'm a better Jew than most Jews.
Oh, wow. Let's not push that.
Yeah.
Let's not push that.
Top drawer. I'm good.
Wow.
Are you top shelf?
Yes, I am.
Top shelf.
Rob Spiewak is a top shelf Jew. Make no bones about it.
Congratulations.
He's right up there with some of your greatest pop culture Jews. Bob Dylan.
Mm-hmm.
Sandy Koufax.
Leonard Nimoy.
That's a shocker.
Yeah. I got that from the Adam Sandler song.
That's right. That's how we know.
And William Shatner.
That's right.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Oops. Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hey.
Yeah, you're on the air. Hello.
Yeah, Mike.
Ah!
Go the night before. Get a hotel. That's what I do. I don't like getting up before 9 o'clock.
Might be a point.
All right. Thank you.
Good idea.
Thank you, my friend.
That's the nice idea. Yeah, you know, he's right.
Let's get rooms.
That's the solution.
Why don't you just get a room?
I'm not worried about getting up early. I'm not worried about getting up early. I'm worried about not making it. That's what I'm worried about. I don't know the time.
Why don't you two do like the planes, trains, and automobile thing? We're in the same room.
Those aren't pillows. That's a great... Seriously, the Joe Clark call and now that call. Wonderful.
Hello. Don and Mike show.
My car.
Hello.
Hey, I just wanted to tell Mike to make sure that he buys his own helmet before taking that class.
Somebody, I read that somewhere, that we have to buy our own helmet.
We don't have to. They will provide the motorcycles and the helmets. We have to have jackets or long sleeve shirts, like jeans, gloves, and then,
biker jackets.
And then I guess I'm going to have to get boots, because I have no boots that qualify for this.
Well, I took that course.
Could you wear your snow boots?
I could, perhaps galoshes.
What about your booties?
I took the course last year, and the helmets are pretty skeevy, so you probably definitely want to get one.
Buzz, I think you should buy a helmet. That makes no sense if I'm not going to buy a motorcycle.
You know, Buzz, he won't buy his own headphones to do this radio show. So
You're not going to buy a motorcycle? I don't think so. I'm not planning to at this time.
Why are you doing this?
Because he wants to lead Rolling Thunder, which I
think... I think will be fun and sort of funny to have me doing it, and an honor to do it. So
you'll be lucky if you get out of that alive. once all those bikers find out your crazy political views...
Well, my biker brothers will protect me, I think.
You'll be happy to see the bikes that you get to learn on there, these tiny little... Honda Rebel 250s.
Mm-hmm. So, I was hoping they'd be like the kind of kids...
Wait a minute.
I was hoping they'd be like the kind of the kids in D.C. are driving now that are pissing off at those little tiny, tiny ones.
Where they're going through intersections and stuff.
Like 15 miles an hour.
Hey, you mean, isn't this a promotion through Patriot Harley-Davidson?
Yes, it is.
So how come we're not going to learn on Hondas?
The official driver's ed course provides, you know, that the state sponsors. It's like DMV. So these are DMV bikes.
It's a 250. It's going to feel like...
I have so little information.
Too much power and we'll hurt ourselves.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's never been a problem for us before.
No.
You're good with it, Mike.
Bring on the power.
Yeah. More power.
Bring me an electric glide in blue.
Bring on more power. More power.
Bring me the electric glide. I want to learn on the electric glide. If it's too heavy, well, that's just too bad. Bring it on. I want a big bike. I want a big haul.
All right, so we will count on, I guess, Friday will be the first report that we get
from
you guys.
Well, we're not being on the course, apparently. We're doing it right classroom.
Classroom first.
But still, that's interesting, too.
There will be antics, I'm sure.
With you two going to school together.
Playing with the pencils, your rubber band.
That'll be great, and it's still early
in the
morning.
And that's a great solution to take the stress out. I don't worry about having to get up or having to drive a distance. What I worry about is being there and being able to get there. That's my concern, and that little... stay at a motel is a good solution.
This class will just be you two and the teacher?
Yes.
Oh, there's not much room for hilarity then.
That's why the odd hours is because one of us didn't want to take public classes.
You're really...
Which one of you...
Oh, you're an asshat.
Which one of you didn't...
Sometimes?
Let me guess. let me guess.
The public classes, for your information, Buzz, are start at 6 o'clock on Friday... Which would be a little difficult for us to start at 6 o'clock.
Make that.
Yes. And then they go all weekend long. Uh-huh. Yes.
I feel the same way. For God's sakes, you're a nationally noted funny man.
That's not it.
You can't be out there with regular common folk.
No, that's not it. That's not. I'm close to being out of this whole thing now.
Private
I'm
classes.
I'm pissed.
Oh, come on. Don't get pissed.
I'm pissed.
Please don't get pissed.
No, he makes it sound like that's what it is when he misrepresents me, when the fact is I didn't want it. We can't do that because of the show. We couldn't leave unless you want us to leave here at 5 o'clock and then spend the whole weekend doing it. That's what the public classes are. I've investigated that before.
Okay.
I'm on my own without this Michelle Combs Buzz Burbank deal. I've investigated this.
There's
before.
Another name.
Oh, yes, that's right. Yes.
More people to blame.
Rob?
Yes?
Excellent prediction, incidentally.
I'm Kreskin.
What was your prediction?
That this might be a lot of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let me just say. Buzz.
Yes?
How do you feel about the charges made upon you by Mike?
I think it was unfair of me to lay it all on Mike since I did not know that the lessons started at 6 o'clock on Friday. I thought it was just a Saturday deal.
Now, what about the private lesson thing?
Private lessons are fine with me. If we can't make it to the public ones, that's our only alternative.
But did you or did you not in this court of public opinion.
That's right.
Make it sound like Mike did not want to go to a public course.
That was certainly the impression that I got from Mike.
Well, that's the reason I gave you the reason for that. What do you say to that? What say you to that?
This is the first I've heard about the 6 p.m. Friday thing.
Did you investigate when the public lessons were?
There was no need to, since we were taking the private lessons.
Did you not approach me and say that, are you interested in doing this? And I said yes, because the private lessons, if it's private, because the fact is the public lessons start on Friday night.
I do not recall you mentioning Friday night.
I did. That's what I said. That's the reason. Because it starts early. I've done it before. It's very difficult for us to do it. I think the classroom is Friday evening.
So you're saying,
and
Mike,
you're on the training course on Saturday and Sunday.
Well, we could get a private class and then go to the public training course.
Mm-hmm.
Would that be okay, too?
Sure.
Is that
absolutely
a possibility? I mean, as we look at various possibilities, that's
we could do that. But that's all day Saturday and Sunday.
I understand. I know. I'm not wild about that either. But
it's not about not being around the public. It's about, blowing a weekend.
Yeah, I know. It has to get done sometime. Mm-hmm. I agree.
All right, anything else you'd like to say in summation, Mike?
In summation, pink shirt can, kiss my derriere.
Buzz?
There you go.
Be careful when you say that to a guy in a pink shirt.
Well, I believe we've solved this.
Yeah.
Right, Mike, you ready to go ahead and just move on?
Like, move on? Oh, you mean move on with the show?
Yeah.
If there's nothing more to offer, I'm still... I feel I've gotten most everything off my chest.
Involving the motorcycle and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. I was, the only thing I would throw in is that I was told by him that we start on Tuesday morning.
No, I never told you.
You said it's Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
I said the
next week and the week after. You said that to me last week.
I said the times that I hear are available are Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday of this week and Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday of the following week.
And I said, fine. And then I didn't hear from you until before the show.
That didn't, because I hadn't heard back from anyone else yet. And that didn't lock it in. Those were just the available times. The times the course was available.
You didn't communicate anything of the kind to me. The way I understood it was going to be Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday this week and Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I didn't know that. That was kind of where we are maybe going to do it. I didn't know it was that way. I thought that was...
Because there are so many people involved, it's still being negotiated.
What's being negotiated?
The times and locations of our lessons. Right.
Okay. We haven't even had a class yet, and it's already a complete CF.
It's really great.
Not where I sit.
It's really great.
No, because you don't care.
Right.
You don't care if somebody isn't locking things in or people aren't calling you back. I do. I kind of have a schedule that I like to adhere to.
So do I.
To lock in things, and a week in advance is usually reasonable time.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
I agree.
I mean, the only problem that I have with this is that I was scheduled to do it tomorrow, Wednesday, and Thursday. That's what I thought. But
yeah.
It's Thursday. Hey, that was blocked off, too. So
I was
no
sort of expecting that myself and then made plans accordingly.
Oh,
like you.
Yeah, so I mean, but see, it doesn't bother you because you're dealing with the big, tough motorcycle guy that called you, the way you described him. The gruff guy.
I haven't met
the gruff
him.
Guy. And you're probably afraid of him.
A gruff voice. Yes, his voice alone has me shivering.
That's the impression I got.
Uh-huh.
Will either of you wear your helmet to the classroom?
I will. If I decide that I'm going to do this, and right now that is about 10%.
And really?
Yes,
so the forecast is now.
See, it's what Rob told. Rob is as prophetic as he has ever been about this.
Uh-huh.
And I was so excited about it. I said, no, don't worry about it. No, and he said, watch out. And man, I have newfound respect for your ability to Kreskenize the situation.
All I'll say is I've done a lot of promotion activity
mm-hmm.
with Michelle Combs Manthe.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times details fall by the wayside.
Mm-hmm.
In broad strokes, everything looks great. And
right.
God bless her. I love her. New mother. Wonderful lady.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'm going to...
Nice disclaimer.
All right, I will be...
nice disclaimer.
Think I saved it?
You say she's an ass.
Yeah.
I never said she was an ass.
Good mother.
It's just she's a great mother, and she has 3 appearances for me this month alone.
Well, there you go.
Bless her, but I don't think she'll be there.
I will be completely done with this. I have just 2 more questions to ask Buzz.
Okay. All right.
And would it be safe to say that calls have been, the communication about this entire thing has been
easy.
been relatively easy. There hasn't been as much communication as I would have liked.
Have people gotten back to your, you know, have they returned phone calls promptly?
The best they could, because they were waiting for answers as well. Okay. Everybody's dependent on everybody else. That's why we all have to try to get along.
All right.
Why are you looking at me in that tone of voice?
I'm listening to this. I'm out of the loop. I should be more involved. I should be more involved, and then maybe I will be. Maybe I'll make a few phone calls myself just to get a little clearer understanding of what's going on.
Okay. You know, as long as you don't, you know, squirrel my appearance in the parade.
I would never do that.
Okay.
I would never do that. And, I mean, no matter where I am with this, I'm kind of, I look at myself as kind of like a party crasher. This is your deal that I kind of horn my way in on. Which, I'm doing it just to learn, you know.
Yeah, which I think is great.
And maybe do a commercial for them or something like that.
And the great byproduct of that, of course, is we get to talk about it on the show.
This is true. And that's not lost on me either.
Yeah.
Why'd you make that
because
face?
Because now I feel an obligation to do it. But I'm very... You know this. I've talked about it because I'm excited about it.
Do it if you want to do it.
I want to
do it.
I feel like we're getting, you know, jerked around.
It's simply, it's called negotiating. We're still negotiating.
Why are we negotiating when somebody said, because hey, we want you to promote this business, well, correct?
I hate to bore people with this, but public classes start at 10 a.m., which means we've got to be out of there by 10 a.m., and they go into the evening, and as you said, they start before we get off work. So we can't make the evening classes. We can't go during the day because those are all booked up. The only private time available on the official course is from 7 to 10 in the morning. Mm-hmm. And now that has to be cleared with the location where the lessons are. They don't normally have lessons.
See, I didn't know any of this information.
Hold on.
I didn't think you wanted to be troubled with the details.
Every time I say something,
I would have
you
loved
guys
to be troubled with the details.
Oh, okay.
What about if you spent the night at Buzz's house?
Hey!
I'd be more than happy to do that.
And you're welcome to do so.
Absolutely. If there's a guest room, I'd be more than happy to spend it.
And there is?
No. Not going to happen. Not going to happen. We'll get it figured out.
Yeah.
We'll get it figured out. And now I have the solution to the one thing I was worried about.
Yeah.
The location where the training course is in Alexandria, which, you know, 10 years ago was a half an hour drive from where I am, and I wouldn't worry about being able to make it on time.
True.
I'll stay close to the location, and we'll do it that way. And I'll be fine. And I'm committed.
So hold on.
It's back up to 80%.
Hold on. You were just 10%. You're going to do it now. You're back up to 80%.
I'm one more, you know, if there's one more screw up as far as, you know, just one more problem with, you know, with like I'm ready to do it. And the day before it gets changed again,
yeah,
you know, I might get a little frustrated.
How are you feeling over there, Buzz?
I don't care.
You don't care about
lessons. I don't. You know, I would love to lead the parade, and if that involves taking lessons, I'd love to take the lessons. I hope we can work something out that's agreeable to all of the 600 or 800 people involved.
It'll be once Buzz and I get to the course, that's when the fun will start.
That's right. Or even the classroom.
I think the fun started about 20 minutes ago, actually.
For you, yes. Yes, for me, no. I don't enjoy arguing with the fine gentleman from Wichita. I truly don't.
No,
I sometimes feel like he's getting, you know, kind of not the kind of respect in this situation he should get.
And I appreciate
you know,
that.
As far as phone calls being returned to him promptly. And you call a guy on a Friday, middle of the day, you should get a call Friday afternoon, or even a call over the weekend. You know, just say, here's the way it is, especially when you're going to change the schedule around. That's what I think.
Buzz, how do you feel about that? Do you feel this guy has walked all over you?
I think he deserves a weekend like everybody else, so I didn't sweat it.
See, and Buzz is going to get better grades in the class because of that. That's right, Buzz is going to do better in school. I'm already a problem child, but I'm going to bring him an apple.
There you go.
So, Mike, as we hear the wonderful theme to, I'm guessing, Chips.
I wish we had those kind of motorcycles.
Yeah.
Cop cycles?
Yeah. Cop cycles with the cop windscreen, cop platform.
So, Mike, what is your current percentage of...
Enthusiasm?
Of enthusiasm and commitment to this project to learn to ride motorcycles with your good friend, Buzz?
70%.
That's pretty strong.
And Buzz, what is your commitment to learn to ride motorcycles with your good friend Mike?
98%.
All right. So it looks like it's still going to happen. We're going to be there Thursday morning for our classroom.
Or evening, if that's more convenient. That's still, you know, we can decide that.
Very cool. That's cool.
Okay. Hello, Don and Mike show.
I am not a caller. I am the voice in the back of Buzz's head. Mike, you insufferable ass.
Oh, would you stop that?
That's incorrect. That's not what the back of my head is.
I don't need that from you, pal. I'm sorry. I couldn't say that seriously.
Hello. Don and Mike show.
Yeah, I called earlier. I got cut off about commenting to Mike on the Patricia Heaton website, saying great things about celebrity motorcycle lessons.
When did we? We didn't cut anybody off today about Patricia Heaton. Oh, did Joe cut you off?
Hello.
Hello, did Joe?
Hello.
Yes, sir. How can we help you?
Hey, Howard.
It's official. We just had cut you off. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, he's gonna fall. I took that course.
Okay, hold on. Please stop for a second. When you say he, first you're talking to us. Are you referring to Mike or Buzz?
Well, I'll say both, because I took every single person in that class fell, at least once.
Well, yeah, so?
Mm-hmm. Well, some of them got hurt. And I'll tell you another thing, bring your own helmet, because they give you a helmet there, but they're nasty.
You heard that. Okay, thank you. Thanks. Informative call. Thank you.
That's why they're giving us small bikes.
Everybody falls. It's like those.
Do you know that for a fact that they're giving us small bikes?
Yeah, he in fact told me what it was. It didn't stick, but it's the bikes and the helmets are provided for those who care to use them.
It didn't stick. So he told you the kind of motorcycle we're going to ride, and you forgot. All right.
Wait, hold on.
Do you remember the brand name?
No, the guy mentioned it. The guy who mentioned earlier, and I didn't remember that either. Because, frankly, I'm just trying to find out when and where we're going to do this.
40% chance I'll be summering in a body cast.
Hold on a second. What's your current percentage of doing this project?
It's still 70%.
Oh, it's still 70?
Yeah, I'd just like to know the bikes we're riding.
That's sure. Hello. What about your Schwinn?
Hello?
Spit his water.
Huffy.
Hello?
When I was a kid, hold on a second.
That, you know, they do say that. I was reading, I don't know where I was reading. I think I was reading on a website. They said, you have to be able to ride a bicycle before you take the course.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. When I was a kid, I was into bicycles, like into bicycle racing, 10 speeds and everything.
Right.
And because my dad was just the son of a bitch that he is, anyway, long story. I had to go to get a job, of course, to get the bicycle that I wanted. But the one that he bought me was one that weighed like 1,000 pounds from Toys R Us. And all my friends had these real cool 10-speeds, these light things with aluminum frames. Mm-hmm. And the first time I came down the street on this thing, the first thing they all did, they said, Huffy.
Yeah.
Oh, like, it might as well have just said, big, fat, loser, Huffy. I used to hear stuff like, can you keep up, Huffy? How's it going, Huffy?
Huffy.
So, I don't know.
Real heavy frame on a Huffy.
Might be a good bicycle, but back
Huffies
in the day.
Huffies were good bikes.
Yeah. Lots of ridicule.
Sure they were.
Yeah. Tons of ridicule.
I had an orange crate.
Listen to them.
Schwinn orange crate.
And the only reason I even accepted a Huffy was because, well, the man who makes them.
This is Sam Huff.
The Huffy.
Think you're going to like my bike?
So the problem with the Sam Huff bicycle is it was like one of those grocery carts in the store that no matter how much you try to make it go left, it goes right.
One way spinning around.
A lot of head injuries.
In circles.
Hello there, Don and Mike show.
Hello.
Hi.
This is really for Mike. You're acting like a 5-year-old child, like you need your handheld the whole time. I mean, welcome to the room, but we all got to deal with this, so I want to hear you shut up.
Yeah? Why don't you come down here and make me shut up, you big... Oh, sorry.
Hey.
Yeah, we're kidding.
Just step
down here, huh? It's easy to hide behind a telephone, son.
Hey, wow.
My offices are at 10800 Main Street in Fairfax. Why don't you pop on down here, we'll see what a gutless wonder you really are.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don.
Hi there, and Mike. Hello.
How you doing? Hey, look, I'm the truck driver that was coming home from the ocean a couple years with you, Don. Truck drivers love you, Don.
Oh, Mike, as you remember, when I was hitchhiking down Route 50 to get to the beach.
You got a message from Mike, Don?
This guy would offer.
Hey, you know, I'm right here. If you got a message for me, you give it to me, pal.
Remember, Mike, you were in the back with the cantaloupes.
Right. I was, what truck driver's in love with Don? And,
is that an organization? That's that like truck
Michael,
drivers in love with Don?
Well, Mike, if you're eating it, if you're reading it, if you're sleeping on it, no matter what you're doing with it, it got to you via a truck.
Hey, you know what? The forecast is calling for heavy rain this week, middle of the week. Maybe you get that speed up to 80 or 90. As soon as those roads get wet.
Mr. Romero, listen, you're going to be riding a motorcycle out on the streets of Maryland,
yes,
Virginia.
Yes, sir.
Let me tell you what.
Yes.
You're going to be weighing about 1,300 pounds, and I weigh 18,000 pounds.
Yes. But how much with the truck?
Oh, is this about?
We are going to crush you. We're going to crush you.
Wow.
Oh, you know what? This would be.
This is a death threat.
This is karma for your comments about trucks.
You don't take any, Mike Romero.
Get out of here.
Wow. Keep on trucking.
See what you did to me, Buzz?
I didn't do
it. See what you did to me?
I did nothing.
Hello, time, Mike.
The whole private public thing.
I'll never
screw. Me.
I'll never wear this pink sweater again.
Oh, I owe you.
Hello?
I'm going to make you fall.
Hey, listen. My revenge will be
sweeter than that.
Hello? Don and Mike show.
Radio God.
Yes, hello.
Love the topic. Listen,
thank
is
you.
Is it me or is Don starting to sound a lot like his own, or Mike starting to sound like his own ex-wife and Buzz the beat-down husband?
Perhaps
whatever you want, honey. I just want to know when we're going to be there.
Yeah, that's right.
What type of bikes are going to be? I don't know. I just want you to be happy.
And most importantly, does this make me look fat?
I just want to know when the lawyers are going to be called.
Buzz is,
well, what you're hearing, sir, is our first spat.
You know, that's it. We're going to have a fine time.
It's nothing.
Once you get started, it's just going to be a party.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Mike and Buzz, when you guys show up for your lessons, I think you'll be surprised to find the private lessons taught by Gary Busey.
It's a shame.
I'm trying to think of another good one.
Plus, and they're not just for Buzz and myself. There's a third person involved.
Who's that?
The Green Fairy. That's right. Buzz and I will be taking the entire course on absinthe.
That's right. Good. Didn't Billy Idol get in a bad motorcycle wreck one time and he didn't have a helmet on?
Yeah.
Okay, thanks. I stopped the show. Sorry. It was going so good when you guys were fighting. Hello, Don and Mike.
Right there. Hey, Mike.
What?
I'd like to say that the course is easy. The guy is lying about people falling down.
Right.
If there's like an older Chinese guy there, he will fall down.
Well, of course. How do they do that walking down the street, please? And, and when you mention older Chinese guy, you're talking about no matter how much weight he lifts, that's Buzz.
Yeah.
Older Chinese guy.
I just wish it was right to the course, you know. I wish there was no classroom.
Yeah, I know.
Because I'm already bored with it.
Wait, I hate to say that. See, the teacher's
not even started yet.
I know. I want to get out to the bike.
I know.
But you know what?
I don't want to have to listen to it. I want to start the bike and drive it real fast.
You know, here's the thing. That would be like one of my fantasies would be to learn to fly an airplane.
Of course.
One of the reasons that I've never done it, don't you even laugh, boy.
I'm chuckling.
One of the reasons I've never done it is because of all the crap you have to go through.
Yeah, a lot of classroom.
It's like, man, not worth it. Totally not worth
it. Most of it unnecessary.
Yes, agree with that. Yeah. And in that regard,
it's like motorcycle. I feel like learn the rules of the road.
I've seen enough movies, you know.
Sure.
Yeah. Up, down, flaps down, wheels down.
Autopilot.
Autopilot in every James Bond movie.
And I rode a scooter in Bermuda one time.
You know, I think there's something that you might get to look forward to. I bet there's a movie with Carnage in it.
Oh, yeah.
Like they used to show us in Driver's Ed.
Cool.
That'll be good.
Oh, there's a movie.
Oh, man, I hope there's a movie. That'll be fun.
Because
I went to one of those courses.
They have VCRs now.
It was a good driver course.
I know, but I still like that sound.
Was it just an encouraging class?
Yeah,
you weren't required to go.
Not at all.
No.
Went on my own.
You were a volunteer.
Don and Mike show.
Hey,
Hello.
Let me talk to Mike.
Right here.
He's here. Hello.
Hey, go ahead.
Mike.
What?
You got to be nice to Buzz, man. I mean, you only got maybe 2 good years left out of him. You guys need to take care of him.
You know, he makes a good point.
All right.
We don't know how long I'm going to be around. I'll take that under advisement. I'm going to watch out for Buzz during this course.
I know.
I'm going to take care of him. Appreciate that.
Make sure nothing happens to him.
Make sure nothing bad happens to him. And make sure that whoever this bully is that's teaching this course, doesn't intimidate Buzz.
Yeah,
you know, I will not be intimidated.
Tom and I are already friends.
Your box of thumbtacks is here.
Now, as a matter of fact, I'll probably get into the class, and as soon as the instructor starts to ask me a question, I'll burst into tears.
Oh, please.
I don't know. I don't know the answers. Leave me alone. Ask Buzz.
I think you should wear like a Snoopy and the Red Baron thing. You know that leather thing
leather
that they used
helmet?
To wear back in the aviator days?
Goggles.
With the big goggles. goggles. Yeah.
When I get to the class.
Look like a barnstormer.
Now that we have time, I'm going to buy the outfit. I'm going to buy the entire outfit. I'll buy the German helmet with the leathers from head to toe and the big buckle boots that they have. Uh-huh. But most importantly.
Yeah, you're just talking, though.
The leather chaps.
Most important.
The leather chaps, and I will be wearing boxer shorts with them.
What are the odds of that happening, Mike?
Wearing leather chaps?
Well, no, I'm trying to gauge, like, you gave the percentage that you would be in the class.
Buying the whole outfit, I guess. Is that the question?
Well, I won't buy an outfit, but I might buy some gloves and a helmet.
Yeah.
And if I do that, you know, I am cheap. So, I mean, I will go to the class. you know, go to the class this Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, nighttime, morning.
Starting again.
Yeah. Whenever it is.
You did that thing. You
throw it at the dartboard. What time? Yeah, there's the calendar. Bingo.
You went. Bleh,
bleh,
bleh.
Guess I'm still upset.
Simply frustrated.
No, I'm
simply frustrated.
I am. I'm ready to go.
We were going to be halfway done
by the time this course is going to start. I'm ready to go. I want to.
Cats.
I want to learn to ride.
This.
I want to ride off the open road. I'm ready to go to Sturgis.
This is not what Passover's about.
You're right.
No?
This is what is it about, Don?
What is it about?
I don't know. Okay, we got a break.
Fair enough.
We'll be right back.
Yeah, maybe.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
During the press conference, why did it appear that Mike was holding back, trying not to cry like the baby that he is?
Well, Neil, I tell you what you are, I can't say on the air. But I tell you what. I'm 53 years old, and I my office is at 250 North Washington. Anytime you want to meet me there, you call me back on the air. You tell me what time and when, and I'll whip your ass. You got that, big boy? It's easy to hide behind a microphone, son. Let's get your face out in public, and let's live where people have to see you every day.
The Don and Mike Show. Get nude, squat, and cough for Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
And go to our website, www.donamikewebsite.com. Unlike many websites, it's there 24 hours a day.
Never closed. Some of them actually shut down at 5. Close the business there.
Yeah. 9 to 5. Then you got your all-night sites.
Yeah, and you know, you don't have many like ours that are open 24 hours. Those are the lazy websites.
I take it back. It is closed today, of course.
Well, for the holiday.
For the holiday.
Right. You know, I beg to differ. I checked with your wife, and it's actually open. She kept the store open today. 365 days a year.
Oh, Mike. 365 days a year.
Absolutely. 24/7.
We never close. Listen, we're going to do a contest today, and we're going to give away another Independence Air trip for two to Las Vegas or Orlando from Independence Air. Visit flyeye.com. All I'll tell you is this. You want to win a trip to Vegas, and you want $250? The game is called The Fastest Finger, and here's how you play. You got to come down here. What time is it now? Almost 4 o'clock our time, East Coast time? By 5 o'clock today. We'll take the first 5 people that show up in our studio, in our lobby, Donna Mike World Broadcast Headquarters at 10800 Main Street in Toothless Fairfax, Virginia. It says WJFK outside, big CBS thing outside.
Can't miss it.
All you got to do is show up, and you must have a cell phone. That's all I'll tell you. It doesn't involve eating anything. It doesn't involve nudity. It doesn't involve destruction of your telephone.
Okay?
So the first 6 people to show up. Oh, and it would help this contest if you were a really big-time listener of this show.
Big fan?
A big money fan, Mike.
Very good.
So fastest finger. Come on down. First 6 people, show up with your cell phones, get a chance to win a trip to Las Vegas.
Very exciting.
It's called Fastest Finger.
I'm not the beautiful lady from Chicago.
Right.
That sounds fun.
Are you ready to play The Fastest Finger?
How's your finger?
There you go.
How's your mother-in-law?
How is your mother-in-law?
Yeah. Well, boy, I'll tell you.
Okay.
How's your weekend?
Your mother-in-law still living with you?
Yes, Mike.
Thought I'd ask that rhetorical question. I know the answer.
And I appreciate the false hope that for one moment you generate when you ask me a question that I know the answer to, but then I think for a second.
She took a private jet and flew to an island somewhere.
Maybe he knows something I don't know. No, and I would also love to give you my life pain.
Your MLP.
Yeah. My MLP today.
Righty.
0.5.
Not
even a one.
That's terrific. That means you made it through the weekend with the residual effects of the acupuncture lingering.
As Barry Manilow sings, I made it through the rain.
Mm-hmm.
I made it through the rain. I did, because I write the songs. And this weekend was crazy because it started Saturday morning very early when Frank Murphy showed up at my house.
Wow.
And I don't mean showed up like a hobo would show up.
Right.
You know, Frank was the producer for Mike and me 15 years ago, longer than that. And he was our producer for 5 years. And we've talked about this before. We had a falling out with Frank when we left one company and went to another.
Right.
There were things said about demands that he made, which it turned out to be, here's a shock, a general manager lying to him.
That's amazing.
So anyway, after 15 years of not talking to this guy, I saw he had an ad out in one of the radio magazines saying he's looking for a job, and he listed all of his references, but he didn't have us down as one of the shows that he had worked for. So a good chance to break the ice. We called him up on the air, and he was cool, and it was the same Frank. And he and I have talked, how long ago was that, like a month and a half ago?
Maybe even longer.
We've talked, and we've exchanged emails,
right.
And I got the email from him last week that he was going to be in town to see his mom this weekend in D.C., and, you know, how about getting together?
Sure.
So I said, you know, I typed back, great, why don't you come by? So he came by.
Was it a prearranged time, or did you just say, if you're in town, come by the house?
No, he said he had a window, like, on Saturday. He could come over for a while, but it would have to be earlier, about 10 o'clock, so that's cool. So I get up, get dressed, get clean, and I'm thinking, you know, here's a guy we worked with for 5 years, haven't seen him for 15 years, talked to him on the phone, emailed him, but not really, you know, giving him the hairy eyeball.
How did he look?
First, I believe he's had the laser eye surgery because he doesn't have the big glasses anymore.
Oh, that's a good thing. There's an improvement.
He looks kind of the same.
Okay.
With a little bit more of a paunch. He's not fat yet.
Right, right.
But he, you know, if he puts his mind to it.
A little heavier.
If he puts his mind, if he really tries.
He could be sloppy fat.
Yeah, he could. But okay. But he's not fat yet.
Right.
He was going with the double layer shirt. He had like the the Ray Romano thing where he had like a T-shirt on, or and then a button down over it.
Right. Right. But was it tucked in or untucked?
Untucked. Yeah. Well.
Wow. Very Frank.
That, and again, for Frank, that's stepping out.
How about the haircut? Still the conservative square head haircut that he's always had.
Same thing, and of course the beard that I believe starts at his knees and just works its way all the way up his body.
Any gray in that beard?
Nope.
No,
not a touch.
Not a bit.
Not a touch. Oh. So he came in and said hi to Big Frida, my mother-in-law, who is still living with us. And we went out and sat on the porch, and we had a good old chat.
What'd you drink? Any adult beverages at that early hour?
It was 10 in the morning, Mike.
Scotch?
10 in the morning.
the usual.
Here's a surprise. I offered him a Coca-Cola product, which he's, you know, used to be in love with.
Right.
He went with water.
Really?
Huh. There was one good.
He's probably just showing off.
There was one great moment after he first walked into the house. And here's a guy, like I said, I haven't seen, laid eyes on in 15 years.
Right.
So we do that shake that turns in like to the almost hug and embrace and the other thing that guys do. And he comes in and he says, oh, boy, I've got to go to the bathroom. Where is the bathroom? And I said, right there, you can't miss it. He goes into the bathroom. My dogs are excited because there's a person in the house.
Oh,
and they smell the dogs on Frank from when he was at his mom's house.
Oh.
Colonel Klink, the German Shepherd, gets so excited, he goes over to the bathroom door. And because Frank didn't latch it all the way, this was a nice how you doing. The door opened up.
Kicks it open,
and
was Frank sitting or standing?
Standing, Mike.
Okay.
He was standing.
It's a shame he wasn't sitting. That would have been, really?
They were excited to see Frank.
So that's
man, oh man.
That's one memory that I'll never
is
be
Clink
able.
Is Clink a male or a female dog?
To erase.
It's a male, right? Clink's a male.
You said is Frank a male or female dog?
No, I said it's Clink.
Oh, Clink's a male
Clink,
dog.
Clink. Is Clink a male?
Yes.
Okay. What? Probably trying to sell Frank some lipstick.
I thought you were going to say something. What?
Homo.
My dog ain't a homo. You know, looking at a guy in the bathroom.
Homo.
That was just a lipstick.
I get I get jokes. So he's standing there, and the door's open.
Yeah.
And I said, I was standing in the kitchen. I said, Frank, I'm sorry about that. Mm-hmm. And I said to Frida, who's at the kitchen table, don't get up. Now, here's an awkward situation, because Frank is standing at the toilet going.
Right.
And my dog has opened the door.
Yes.
Now, I said, Frank, this is kind of awkward. Come here, Clink. So Clink leaves, and I take a step away so I'm not looking at him, and I said, Frank, you want to close the door? And he said, give me a second.
Yeah, he was in the middle of something.
hard to stop once you start.
Yeah, right.
So
you got that trick door, didn't you?
Okay.
That door that never latches.
All right, that's
you play that joke on everybody that comes to your house.
That's my special door.
Frank comes out of the bathroom, he looks at, is this duct tape on the door?
You know, it is just a door that you do have to shut all the way. And the dog, frankly, the dogs do that with us all the time anyway. We're used to it. I mean.
But you don't mind if you're doing your business and the dog comes in.
Oh, I hate it. Really? I hate it. I kick him out. Now, my wife, on the other hand, this is the weirdest thing. She'll, like yesterday, she was out doing something, and she comes in home, and she says, I got to go to the bathroom. I go, okay, this is the bathroom right by the kitchen.
Right.
I walk by, she's sitting on the can, and she's petting both of the dogs while she's going to the bathroom.
I've done that. I pet dogs when I'm going to the bathroom.
And here's the other thing that's weird about our house.
Kind of like food touching.
No. Touching a dog, rubbing a dog.
If I'm in the act and Carla's dog comes running in there, I will pet it and then send it on its way.
See,
if
that's
the dog
got
sits and
to
wants
with,
to linger, I don't want the dog to
that's
linger.
It's got nothing to do with food touching. That's a privacy issue. I don't care if it's a dog that can't differentiate what's happening.
Now, think about it. You want to keep your peas private and you want to keep your steak private. You know what I mean? Don't want anybody, you don't want any food stuff interfering, invading the privacy of the other food stuff.
Okay. Well, maybe we can discuss that at motorcycle class.
We will.
All I know is...
Okay. All right. I think I make a good point. I truly do. That's probably what it is. Will you acknowledge your dog if the dog comes in? When you're in the seated position, of course.
Yes. I say, get out. Uh-huh. Say, bad. You're bad.
Mm-hmm.
Daddy's in here doing something. Get out of here. Yell at him. What am I supposed to do? Say, hey, come on in. Get a whiff of this. I bet you'd like to have some.
No.
I bet that's what dogs do.
Well, it doesn't happen often, does it?
It happens once a week, maybe, that our dogs open the bathroom door while we were only in the bathroom by the kitchen.
Right, okay. So you have to give that an extra hard shove.
Yes, and also the problem is, because it's the bathroom by the kitchen, it's the bathroom that my wife has decided really nobody's allowed to use.
Mm-hmm.
And you're definitely not allowed to go number two.
Haven't you said before that you prefer that when you like that bathroom?
Yeah, it's more convenient. It's closer to everything,
yes.
Which is why sometimes I break the cardinal rule, Frida's cardinal rule of sitting, and reading.
Nobody's home.
Yes, and quite often then the dog will open the door, and that's a pretty sight, because then what I do if no one's at home and the dog does it, I get up off the toilet and walk around with my underpants around my ankles,
bad.
And I'm doing that thing trying to find the dog.
Better to let it go.
Going, don't open the door. Don't open the door. And then at that point with your pants around your ankles, you can't go to the front door and open the door and let the dogs out.
You could fall and hurt yourself, and not a good idea.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, it was a nice icebreaker with Frank.
Uh-huh.
That's all I'll say.
And how is he?
Frank?
Yeah.
He's the same.
Same?
Now, you know what? He has become a little more cynical and jaded.
Right.
In the 15 years since I had seen him, and I know you would feel the same way if you spent some time with him, first off, he drops the F-bomb a lot.
Okay.
Which he never used to do.
Right.
He had some very bad things to say about people, which I thought was interesting. Hold on. The hotline is ringing. Because Frank never have anything bad to say about anybody.
Yeah.
Hello, hotline.
Hey. I don't know how behind I am with this delay, but I accidentally trained the dogs to come into the bathroom when you're going to the bathroom.
How did you do that?
Well, every course, you remember Brandy. And Brandy, because she was a Springer Spaniel, she had kind of like oily fur that I always had to wash my hands after I petted her. And I always knew I was going to wash my hands after I went to the bathroom, so it was always a good opportunity to pet her because it was like, oh, I don't mind petting you because I'm going to wash my hands in a minute anyway.
This is kind of weird, though.
So the dogs associated the bathroom with the... being stroked, that is.
So they all come in whenever...
to a point,
yeah, whenever we're in the bathroom. And, you know, I don't... Buzz, do you remember they... well, maybe you don't... they burst in on Marcia and exposed her to the world one time in my house. I mean, it's happened with Marcia.
I always latch it, lock it, and then push something up against the door.
That's the best idea.
Uh-huh. So, yesterday, I guess it was...
Invite them all in before you start going. Because
no.
They won't open it and leave.
It was yesterday or Saturday, and sometime over the weekend, my wife came in from doing something, like I said, and she says, oh, I really got to go to the bathroom, and I go in the other room, and I come by. She's sitting on the toilet, door's wide open, and she's got both the dogs there, and while she's sitting there doing, she's going, oh, aren't you a good boy? Didn't you miss mommy? Meanwhile, I'm hearing, you know, the sounds of it now. She was, it was only, you know, water processing.
Well, she has to watch them, so it's a trade-off, I guess.
I just think it's weird.
It's just, you know, it's just an efficient use of your time. You're sitting there doing nothing anyway.
Right.
And here's the odd thing. I don't think I've mentioned about this bathroom.
Yeah.
The door. It's glass.
Oh, really?
No, I'm kidding.
Completely.
Now, that's a joke.
Clear,
now, that's,
clear glass.
Now, that's a joke. It's glass door.
Floor to ceiling. Smoked glass. And just see
lightly,
the outline.
Lightly smoked.
Lightly smoked.
All right, baby. Well, thank you for checking in. Oh, listen. Hold on. As long as you are on the phone, I'm going to skip ahead here. How was your plastic surgeon today? How was it with Dr. Frankenstein today?
He was great, but, you know, I'm just not ready to make the big leap yet.
Oh, so. Good. I'm glad to, glad to hear that.
Yeah.
What did he suggest?
They also do dermatological things, and I'm ready for that.
That's the come on. Like, yes, you've got some blackheads, and look at you, your skin's a little dried out, incidentally. Wouldn't you like to be a cup size bigger? And that's how he gets them, right?
That's exactly. I was telling Mom, you know, it's like these are the gateway drugs.
That's right.
It's like dabbling, putting my toe in right now.
Well, you know, people do get addicted to plastic surgery.
So what did you decide?
So for now, you know, just the regular, the stuff that it doesn't involve knives.
Just skincare. So there will be some sort of procedure, though.
Oh, yeah. Right. Well, you know, I'll mull over my options. I got all the pamphlets. But
it doesn't involve knives. Would it by any chance involve needles?
Needles might be the next step.
Needles. Does it involve rubber bands? I mean, I'm thinking about stretching her face back.
I'm thinking Botox.
No, we don't rubber bands. I can't make the needle promise.
You'll come home and you'll have lips like a clown.
No,
I mean.
All right, and you brought your mother with you to this appointment.
She's interested in that kind of stuff. She likes looking up. You know, so we had an enjoyable session. It was very entertaining.
Good. I could imagine nothing better than spending an afternoon with my mother, if I was a woman, with my mother going shopping at the plastic surgeon. Gee, Mom, what do you think? What do you think, Mom? Okay, well.
All right, but meanwhile, if those researchers could really get started, you know, on doing something that doesn't involve surgery, that makes you look younger and it doesn't hurt, I'd appreciate it. So, put aside all the big diseases and start working on the plastic surgery without surgery.
Oh, God, would you get off this topic, please? I mean, you don't need the plastic surgery. Here's the thing. Here's the way that you can always look the way you look right now. The way you look right now, kill yourself.
Oh, God.
Then I can guarantee you will not age.
Frozen in time.
Don't
Absolutely.
Think that thought doesn't occur to me, everyone.
Oh, my God. Or me.
You should take motorcycle lessons with us. Yeah, because Buzz and I are going to kill each other.
Oh. All right. Bye, boo-boo.
Okay, bye. Love you. See you.
I love you, too.
All right.
Okay.
Bye-bye. I mean, she is preoccupied with that, Jack.
Well, she says she's not going to get it.
I've got a couple good mortician's cards.
So of course. It's good she took your mother-in-law there.
No, it's not, because my mother-in-law is the big one. They were sitting around the other day, and my mother-in-law, she said to my mother-in-law, here's the thing that my wife says to me. She says, like, I appreciate the fact that you think that I'm pretty. And I do think my wife's pretty. She says, but really, what do you think I need done? And I look at her, and I'm being honest. I tell her, I couldn't be more honest if you cut my vein open and put the truth through it.
Mm-hmm.
You look great. I wouldn't do anything. She sits down with her mom. What do you think? And her mom looks at her and goes, well, honey, you look nice, but you do have that thing by the chin there, and you do have the lines by the, and they start this thing, and then one to the next, and it's mm-hmm. back, and it's forth. It's like the old pawn game with the thing going boing, boing, boing. Well, I should do this, or I should do this, or I should do this. You know, Jesus Christ. And then I said to my wife at one point over the weekend, what if you get something done, and in 10 years, if you look like a woman that's had something done?
Right.
You know, yeah. like what if they pull
like,
your...
Don't those women have, like, amazing, like, many, many procedures? The women that look like their faces have been stretched. Like, isn't the second facelift really the one, or the third? That's, like, Joan Rivers, for example, is a guy. That's a woman who's probably had, what, 4, 5, 6 facelifts.
See, here's the thing. She's already infatuated with the idea. And if she goes in for one of these things that involves needles, no knives... Mike, here's what it is. It's a gateway procedure.
She said that, and I agree. Yeah. It can be addictive.
You know what's going to happen is one of these days, Big Frieda and Frieda's going to come home. They're going to look like the Landers sisters. You won't even be able to tell them apart.
Right.
Mother and daughter. Hello, girls. Ladies.
Welcome to the house.
Kind of a dream come true.
House of wax. So that's, anyway, I didn't know she was going to bring that up. So Frank came
over. I predict that she won't tell you, and she'll just arrive one day, and she'll have the procedure done, and, you know, and
she'll have two black eyes, and she'll have that nose going the weird way, and she'll have the big puffy things on her boots.
She'll be bandaged like Joan Crawford was in Mommy Dearest. Hello.
You know, I keep thinking, like the swan.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking, right.
Could you give me a lemonade, please?
All puffy, and they have bandages on her like the Invisible Man.
Right. You'll come home, and there'll be foil over all the mirrors.
But imagine this, though. And this might be the trade-off, although I don't know. Let's say that she's got, like, the Invisible Man thing with all the ace bandages on her.
Right.
And we finally take the bandages off, and it's Jennifer Aniston. But it's still Frieda.
Yeah.
Now, that's a perplexing one.
That's a conflict. It's a payoff. Yeah.
What would you do there?
Would you be happy? Or would you be frightened?
I would not be happy. I would not be happy.
What if she took off the bandages and the dark glasses and she was the Invisible Man? She was just gone.
Then I would be elated.
But she'd still be there.
Okay, well, then that would not be good.
That's scary.
That would not be good.
You're messing with
it.
Not like out of sight, out of mind. I know what you're saying.
No, because, like, here's the thing that I imagine. Let's say the bandages come off and, wow, I go, is that you, Frieda? Almost like one of those movies where somebody comes back and she goes, yes, it's me, darling. I said, oh, I can't believe this. You were beautiful before, but now you look like Jennifer Aniston. God, let's go to bed. Mm-hmm. And then she would say, as Jennifer Aniston, no.
Right.
No. It would be the same. Like, no. Not
what if you took the bandages off and it was like that lady in New York that looks like the cat?
Oh, her?
Oh, you know, Jocelyn Wildenstein or whatever her name is. Yeah. The lady that's had like 150 procedures.
Well, that lady reminds me of the picture I saw of Michael Chiklis as the Thing from the Fantastic Four.
Ah, there you go.
All he looks like a burn victim on steroids.
Right.
The Thing in the Fantastic Four.
Right. Chiklis on the zoo.
Burn victim. That's the look they were going for, I'm sure.
Has Frank had any plastic surgery?
Does he look like a burn victim?
Frank.
No. Any appreciable plastic surgery for Frank?
Okay. None that I could tell, except for the eye thing. Right. So, here's the good part about
Frank. Does he have cat eyes now?
So we chatted about the old days. We chatted about old people and talked about it, you know, who'd been where. Anyway, he told me some of the greatest Rick Dees stuff that I've ever heard.
Oh, really?
Now, you know, Rick Dees is the guy in Los Angeles that got Ryan Seacrest booted him out but for over 20 years, even back when I worked at the station in Los Angeles with him, Rick Dees was the morning guy. He's a jive ass. He's Mr. Rick Dees in the morning. Ellen Kay.
How are you?
The Backstreet Boys have a favorite deli sandwich. Could you name the sandwich?
If you could be Madonna for a day, would you?
So anyway, we've talked about him a lot.
Mm-hmm.
He tells me a story. Frank tells me a story I never heard before. This is great. This is about Rick Dees, about being lazy, and about being caught being lazy. His morning show starts at 5:30.
Uh-huh.
Now, at this point, Frank is working at K-Rock in Los Angeles. Rick Dees works at Kiss FM, a top 40 station. Frank's producing for the morning show on the alternative station. And they've heard for the longest time that Rick Dees has this scam where he has about 40 different tapes of himself that they play starting at 5:30. Tapes that say, for instance, 102.7 Kiss FM, Rick Dees, glad to be with you early on this morning. LNK, chance of rain today. How about it? And then the live people in the studio
interact with the tapes.
Interact and would take the show over.
Right.
And he said that they not only did they have all of these tapes, that Rick Dees, he had them played for him on the telephone to verify that they're true. It was some guy at Kiss FM ratted him out on this.
Right.
He even had earthquake tapes ready.
Wow.
And said there were three different ones. There was a small earthquake, moderate, and heavy. And I said to Frank, what do I sound like? And he said, it was like 102.7 Kiss FM. Did you feel that last night? Slight rumbling in the Southland. LNK. LNK, what's the latest? And then there was one that said 102.7 Kiss FM, Rick Dees in the morning. Wow, lots of things shaking. Perhaps electricity wow. problems, LNK. Wow. And then there was a third one that was 102.7 Kiss FM. We all know when we move to California, this is it. This could be the big one. LNK, this is a bad, bad earthquake. Where do we stand? So he's got all these tapes. And the other people, because it's a station that plays records.
Yeah.
You only need to have like a 20-second intro tape from him, and then he throws it to Jim Shorts, whatever, right. the sports guy, you know, hey, Jim, how about the Dodgers last night? You know, it's like, well, Rick, at 5:38, the Dodgers lost to the Pirates last night. That's Kiss FM Sports.
That's great.
So,
wow,
they know he's doing it. They wait one morning, and they got a guy that's parked outside Rick Dees' house. So, the show at K-Rock, Kevin and Bean, goes on at 5:30. And they go on the air with the guy in front of Rick Dees' house. Now, meanwhile, on Kiss FM at 5:30, the Rick Dees show allegedly has started.
You know, tapes,
yeah. 102.7 Kiss FM, kind of hazy, LNK, what do you think? So they're monitoring this. Now, you can't play another radio station, but they're monitoring this somehow. They're saying, really appears to be there. Let's go to this guy on the cell phone in front of his house. The guy says, he might really be there today. We don't know. There's no lights on in the house. So they continue this for about 20 minutes. And then the guy says, hold on. It's 5:52. When obviously someone at Kiss FM figures out that on K-Rock, they're monitoring Rick Dees' house.
Right.
They say, a light's on. 3 minutes later, garage door is opening. Then he zooms out of his driveway, gets to work. And by the time he got to work, about 10 after 6, then Frank said, he got on the air and said, 102.7 Kiss FM, Rick Dees, despite what you have heard, I am live. It is March 29th. Almost like, you know, almost right. like a kidnap victim.
Yeah, like he's totally been ratted out.
Will you hold up the newspaper to
right.
show
with that's great. Right. That is great that they busted him on it.
That's the best lazy Rick Dees story I ever heard.
That's a great story. Did he have a rap for that when you were working at Kiss FM? He's probably too... You know, too young in his career to be able to get away with that.
No, back then was when I guess he actually would show up on time.
Right, right.
And then I guess they were telling me something that they did it again, and then Rick Dees had a big press conference where he had to announce that he was afraid for his family's safety.
He's being stalked, right?
Being stalked.
Oh, my God.
And then some reporter said to him...
And it's just a little innocent prank.
Yeah, good one.
Somebody said, well, if you're worried about being stalked, why didn't you call the cops? Why did you leave your house? Why did you leave your family? And I guess that's where it all just kind of went away.
Right.
Rick Dees.
We're not going to have way to go, Rigdon.
And then he was telling me about this other guy, Jay Thomas.
Yes.
Another guy I've known for a long time. A lot of you people probably know him from...
Did he work for Jay Thomas for a while?
Yeah. So after he works for Kevin and Bean, he works for Jay Thomas. Uh-huh. And they're talking about this great bit they did with Rick Dees, catching him, taping his show. Well, Frank said, this is the worst thing that worst thing he could have ever said. Because starting the next day... Jay Thomas started taping his show. Really? That he would tape the first hour and would make it to work sometimes by 7 or 7:15.
Oh, my God.
That Frank didn't tell on him, but I think the way he ended up telling me was, you know, he's one of these guys, he's like, he's so freaking honest. That's one thing that killed me about him. It was like, you know, when he worked for Mike and me, we'd say, go into the general manager, you're going to have to lie about this so we can get away. Frank would say, I can't do that.
Right.
So he said to me that he was torn because Jay Thomas was taping, but he wasn't going to tell on him.
Right.
But they finally asked him about it. They said, oh, we've heard some rumors. And so then when they asked him, Frank said yes. And then he said Jay Thomas responded by walking in the room and throwing a bottle of water at his head.
Wow. Wow, wow,
but it was a very nice get-together with Frank. And, you know, we talked about what he wants to do. And I'm happy for him. I'm glad we had contact. And then we had the big emotional as we would get. Like, you know, so he said, I'm glad I said, me too. Hugged. He goes out to his car. I come back inside. 5 minutes later, doorbell rings. It's Frank.
Hmm.
I said, boy, that was fast. What's happening? He said, my mom's car has a dead battery. The car that he drove over. And I said, okay. As I was going to go to the garage to get the jumper cables, and again, here's Frank. He said, you want me to call AAA? And I said, yeah, Frank, after I've not talked to you for 15 years and you spend 3 hours at my house, that's what I'm going to do is make you wait. And incidentally, can you push your car out of the driveway and wait down by the curb for freaking AAA to show up?
That's Frank, though.
we got the car jumped, and he was on his merry way.
Very good.
Excellent. So it was fun meeting with Frank and... you know, still the same.
Cool.
And he wants to be a DWJAY.
That's his thing.
That's what he wants to be.
Do you want to be it on a large scale, small scale, what? Doesn't matter?
Yes, no, I don't think it matters.
Right, just wants to get back on the air.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just wants to play the hits while you're spraying your piss.
Sure.
That's all he wants. So anyway, that's the Frank update. And just squirrely having him around. I mean, it was good having him around, but it was like...
Been a while.
Just, like, he brought up all these names of people. Like,
he produced for a long time out in Los Angeles. He did.
I mean, no, the names he brought up were people that you and I knew. And he was like, hey, do you remember what happened to this guy? And I'm like, I didn't even know that guy ever worked at the station.
You and I have tended to block out an awful lot of people.
Yes, we have.
Over the years. I hope you gave him my best.
Mike, I did. I actually did.
I hope you did.
I actually did.
Yeah, I joke about that, but I hope he's doing well.
I actually did give him your best.
Absolutely.
And he said, tell Mike, F off. The all-new Frank.
The new Frank.
The all-new Frank. Drop, you know, although it was still funny coming out of his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about something. He says, yeah, I can't believe what an effing idiot that guy is. And I would just look at him and go, Frank.
Of course, that's when he was talking about me.
Were you listening?
Yeah, I knew. I was there.
No, he had nothing bad to say about you.
He's
in the least.
A good guy. Frank and I got along fine.
So that was nice seeing Frank. Awkward seeing Frank. But awkward but nice is how I would describe it.
Well, you know what? I'm so glad that, you know, people talk about you and me and the way we do this show. And I'm just so glad you were able to do that with Frank. And I didn't have to. I get awkward around certain people. You know what I mean? I really do. It would have been great to see him, to bump into him, but, you know, to bring him out to the house and stuff, that was a nice thing that you did.
No, I did because I wanted to. I like Frank, and, you know, he's a big part of our past.
Absolutely.
You know, yeah. And, anyway.
But, you know, the thing is, you have the relationship with the producers on the show. You always have. You always will, and that's just the way it goes. I know the producers, but, I mean, you, it's every single day. Hours sometimes at a time where you're constantly interacting. And I'm sure that it meant an awful lot to him that, you know, that you reached out to him.
I got a great relationship now.
Yeah, I'm sorry if my immaturity has offended you.
Got a totally different relationship with our producer now.
Yeah. Do you know, I'm thinking perhaps I'll send Frank 5 or 10 Omera's dollars. Either way, just to
appreciate it.
Just as a way to say hi. I'll do that for him.
You know, this phone is just... I'm just trying to call the next office. Hello?
You would describe the relationship you have with the producer now as somewhat different?
Are you part of this being?
More intimate, perhaps?
Oh.
Hello?
Hi, baby.
Oh.
How funny is that?
Hi, baby.
Here's the only question I have for you, Beth Ann.
Yeah.
Don't you get out of your land now and replace your VA!
Did you use the D word this weekend?
Not once.
Oh, very good.
But I used it today.
Hey.
Hey, good for you. You're back at work.
Now, in what regard?
There you go.
In what regard did you use it in calling someone a?
Yeah, I rented what is it? The movie that you like, Anchorman.
Ron Burgundy?
Yeah, so.
Oh, for Christ's sake, behave. There's pieces of me scattered from here to Pittsburgh on these football fields.
So you called Will Ferrell one. You weren't commenting on his.
No, I was commenting on a scene that really stood out, if you know what I mean.
Oh, right.
Nice.
And so you... And you said, wow, that's quite a...
Right.
But you didn't care for Anchorman?
No, I tried to like it. I mean, it really, I only watched half of it.
No, it's a Will Ferrell movie.
Hey, watch it.
Right, I mean, I really got, oh, Don likes this. I do. It's great.
I like it.
I love it. All right, thank you, B.A. Nice to know you dropped the D word. Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
There's Will Ferrell's.
look at Will Ferrell's.
Magnificent.
Yeah, I wonder if he'll show it in his new soccer movie.
Now listen, that looks like a piece of crap.
No, I wouldn't say that.
However, now you're making the face like he was making.
I think we are pretty much split down between you and Buzz. Buzz, are you in the Will Ferrell camp now? Is it official?
Not in the camp, but I did like the movie Anchorman.
Okay, Rob and I are Will Ferrell
listen,
haters.
He is a one-trick pony, and I used to hate him, and I've seen the ads.
I hated him ever since The Cheerleaders.
The dumb movie that looked like The Pacifier, except he's with kids. I just have to say this. There is something hilarious about Will Ferrell screaming at a kid. It just does it for me.
I mean, all right, I'm going to ask, this is going to be my final barometer on your love of Will Ferrell.
Okay.
Did you enjoy the movie Elf?
I would say it is maybe in my top 10 all-time Christmas movies. Yes, loved it. Okay. Maybe the funniest movie he's done.
But you see, I liked Elf 2 as a movie, but I didn't like him. I'm a sucker for Christmas movies.
Mm-hmm.
If were it not for Will Ferrell, Elf would have been
piece
perfect.
Of garbage with my kids, and I thought it was a suckathon. I really did.
Really?
Yes.
Even Bob Newhart.
But see, I think I probably have that. My hatred for Will Ferrell transcends Christmas and everything.
Wow.
My hatred.
So deep.
No, because you know what? It's all like, you know when you have a traumatic experience early in your life and you're forever, like you won't eat a certain food.
What did Will Ferrell do to you, Mike?
The Cheerleaders sketch. When on Saturday Night Live.
See, I never watched Saturday Night Live.
Saturday Night Live, I watched this, and I went, this cannot. And then they ran it every single week.
Yeah,
and I'm like, man, what a lottery winner.
So what? The guy's funny. The guy's funny as hell in his movies. The guy goes the whole, how about Old School? Come on, please. When he's running around naked, come on.
Old School, I enjoyed the movie itself. I did not enjoy Will Ferrell in it.
He's funny.
Hey, take your shirt.
He's funny,
yuck,
Rob.
Yuck, yuck.
Rob Schneider. Yes, Mike. Yes. Yuck, yuck, yuck. Big yuck, yuck, yuck.
Yeah, I
take
don't think
your shirt
so.
Off.
No.
Yes. He is a bigger...
He does the same thing in every movie.
Let me just go back in time. Mike O'Meara says that The Rock will be a major motion picture star.
Mike has 8 months on that.
That's not over yet.
You know, that's the only thing I can throw at you, because humor, it's all subjective. I think he's funny. I even think he's good in that Woody Allen movie.
I liked, and for a while after Something About Mary, I said, I thought Ben Stiller was going to be, making continuously funny movies. And
now,
then he started doing the same pursed lips model, I'm a male model thing.
Now you and me are both in the We Hate Ben Stiller club, right?
What has happened to Ben Stiller? Ben Stiller
Here's
was,
the problem.
I mean, when he was just playing it kind of straight, right. He was great, and then he became Zoolander.
Let's go through. Let's look at Duplex.
Right.
Okay. Then you've got, he did like 5 really bad ones. He did
Dodgeball.
Oh, Dodgeball wasn't all bad, but it was not
that
great.
That same kind of, where he's pursing his lips and doing the hello.
It was not great.
I liked Starsky and Hutch.
See, I hated that one,
that
too.
That I didn't even see.
Really?
I'm not qualified to comment on
that. I liked it.
And then Meet the Fockers, no thanks.
Right.
Just cashing a check on that. Well, they all were.
Well, come on, he's cashing a big check on that one. See? So do something at least a little funny.
I'm waiting. There's a gap. We can use another funny man right now.
I'm on.
Who I think is funny, that guy, and I haven't even watched the show, but I laugh every time.
I have great genes. I had the gap.
What's that?
You said we need a gap, and I was going to say, I don't think we need a gap. There's a gap on every corner, Mike.
They don't sell Levi's at the Gap anymore, do they?
No, they sell Gap brand jeans.
Gap brand jeans.
Right.
But you'll be hard-pressed to tell the difference. That guy, I don't know if he'll make movies, that guy that's on The Office. It's the lead on the male lead on The Office.
The boss?
He was actually in Anchorman. He played he is a naturally funny guy. I think he'll do bigger.
Bruce Almighty.
Frida and I watched an episode of The Office on NBC, that show with no laugh track. The show is not as good as the British show, although that guy's pretty good.
Is that guy pretty funny?
Superb.
I can
love
see that guy doing bigger and better things.
But I think that show is written to be quirky, but not. It's overly quirky on purpose, and it's annoying to me. I like
I like another program.
I still give Will Ferrell movies a chance, though.
What program do you like,
I enjoy the program called Gunsmoke. Are you familiar with Gunsmoke?
Okay, step away from the microphone. I know you had a great weekend, and I'm happy for you that your wife and kids were gone all weekend.
All weekend.
Hey, you know what, shut up.
Getting back to Will Ferrell,
I'm so angry that you're so happy.
Yeah. You know what he's going to do now? This is my prediction.
What?
Will Ferrell.
Win an Oscar?
Will, no, but he's going to go that route.
Drama?
I bet he tries to do dramas.
I would bet you right now. Put it on a post-it.
Done.
Although, hold on.
In the next two years,
you might say
he will do
that,
a drama.
You might say that the Woody Allen movie was kind of... But no, that was a comedy. So you're saying he's going to do like Jim Carrey, he's going to do...
Yeah.
Hold on. Truman Show, do you think that's a comedy or is that a drama?
That's a drama.
So you think... I would give you that. I would give you that,
Truman,
too.
Truman Show, not a real laugh movie.
The Majestic was a drama.
Okay, the Majestic.
Boy, am I hating that movie.
No, I will.
Will Ferrell is hot enough where some agent is going to give him a script and go, you should try this. You should stretch your chops.
I'll take that bet.
He's an actor. I'm going to win that
bet. 2 years?
Yeah, 2 years. Because that's a reasonable amount
of time. Star in a drama or just appear in a drama?
He'll be in a drama. He'll be in a non-comedy movie.
I think you're right.
It can be a bit part.
Well, if you like some of this action, Pinky, you can have some.
No, I didn't care to bet. I just think he happens to be right. Okay. I think Will Ferrell will turn up in a drama. Soon.
Don't think so. Two years.
Well, when you see a drama is different than a non-funny movie, I'd classify Anchorman as a non-funny movie. Okay. By April of 2007, Will Ferrell will be in a drama. Any stakes?
How about $100?
$100. I thought you weren't allowed to bet money anymore.
Well, who said that?
You did.
Oh, yeah, that's right. All right, how about $20?
$20 it is.
All right.
Hello.
$20 it will be.
Don and Mike. Hello.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air. Hello.
Oh, I want to make a comment. That Will Ferrell movie, Old School, was the funniest movie I ever saw.
Thank you. This is Molly Mensa checking in, really helping my case. You know what? I'm not even turning your microphone on right now, Rob. I'm not even
turning it on. All the rest of the movies he did...
Rob, okay, go ahead. What?
I was going to say, this is co-star of Old School, Leah Remini.
Absolutely horrible.
Absolutely horrible.
All the other movies. Ben Stiller is a complete idiot. I'm totally on the board with the... I don't understand how he could have been in Dodgeball.
Yeah, because Dodgeball deserved better actors.
Dodgeball was the worst movie. I don't understand how so many people could have been in the creation of that.
You're listening to Talkin' Cinema.
Thank you. The late Gene Siskel, as always... It's great to have you on the phone. Thank you, Gene.
Thanks so much.
We got a break. The balcony's closed. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hello?
Hello?
Okay. This gentleman was the one who won your tip on Don and Mike, Vietnamese New Year show. You want to say hello to Don and Mike?
Hi, Don and Mike.
Okay.
And I hope you enjoy the tape.
Okay. Yeah, I guess he just want to call and thank you for the tip, and he really enjoy your show on WJFK.
What the fuck, hello, brothers? Yeah. Kinks in the house!
The Don and Mike Show.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the moonjuice.
They're all thonged up. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
And don't forget, go to our website, www.donandmikewebsite.com. Listen, the fastest finger, I think Beth Ann says one or two people are here.
Yeah, so I'm out in the lobby.
We're going to do this in a couple more breaks, within a half hour or so. Giving away a trip to Las Vegas today from Independence Air, visit flyeye.com, and $250 cash. The game is called The Fastest Finger. You got to be a real fan of the show. Show up here at WJFK, 10800 Main Street, Toothless, Fairfax, VA, with your cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. We'd like six people. Let's see how many show. I know it's the end of a work day.
It sure looked like there were some fastest fingers out there in the lobby when I dropped by.
You won't have to break your phone. You don't have to eat anything bad. You don't have to take your clothes off.
They were all picking. Not required.
But fast.
Fast fingers. Rapid fire.
So show up here at the studio if you want to go to Las Vegas. Oh, one last thing, and I hesitate to bring this up. But I've got to address it because it's a news item now about my brother.
Okay.
This is something that Frank mentioned to me as he was leaving the house on Saturday. He said, "How's your brother doing?" And I said, "Hey, my brother's doing great."
Mm-hmm.
And he said, "Really? Because I thought I read something about him."
Wow.
Now here's, listen, I just give you the particulars as I know them.
Okay.
And tell you the happenstance, how Frank knew this. My brother, who I love, and as you know, is always just, he's his own person.
Right.
A couple of years ago, before he got married, the way the story reads, he took some photos of his gal pal in the bathtub, I guess.
Uh-huh. Very common.
And then what they're alleging is that he posted them on a Yahoo site.
Oh, dear.
And I guess the girl is not pleased. And anyway, this played out, and my brother got popped for this. And I said to Frank, because I explained this to him, I said, "Just curious, how'd you know?" Uh-huh. And Frank said, "Oh, it was on the prep sheet that I look at."
Oh, DJ really? Service.
Now, there's a DJ service. Like, when we have our feel goods, we don't get them from a DJ service. We go through a bunch of online newspapers mm-hmm. to find stories about bad things happening to good people.
Right. Yes.
Okay. Or just weirdos.
Right.
I said to Frank, "So how was this?" He said, "It was on the complete laugh joke sheet, whatever." Because he's still in radio. He still gets right. these joke services. And right at the very end, it was like, I said, "What was the heading?" And he said something like, "Knuckleheads in the news."
Oh, no.
And he said he read the name, and he could think of nobody. Could think
so
of
you,
nobody
weren't,
else.
You weren't mentioned in this at all?
No.
It was so your brother's little thing that he did was significant enough to make it onto these news sheets.
Now, your brother did this for revenge? He was unhappy with this woman?
Buzz,
that why? We don't know why?
I don't know, Buzz.
Ah, okay.
Okay?
All right.
Follow what I'm saying? I don't know.
I do.
This is something I read about.
Yeah.
And... you know, don't know.
Right.
I mean, I knew about it last week
right.
because there was the issue of lawyers and stuff
yeah,
like
of
that.
Of course, the legal matter.
But
lots of possibilities.
Is your brother-in-law who's cow now or
no,
what?
No. They brought him down and let him go on his own recognizance.
So it sounds like good, clean fun to me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Rob, I don't know if the site is still up.
I'll go look.
with the picture of the girl, I don't know. I don't bring that up to belittle my brother. I only bring it up because... you know, if Frank found it on a DJ prep
you know
service,
it's out there.
It's out there.
I sure would rather talk about it first on our show than have, you know, Jack Diamond talk about
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
So anyway.
So does this mean Jim can expect crazy calls from disc jockeys?
Good morning. Hey, how are you?
Here's the thing. That guy's unlisted. But I think so, and I've not broken that news to him yet. We spoke over the weekend.
How about that?
He doesn't know that you know.
Oh, he knows.
Oh, he does know that you
what
know.
Does he know that I... Of course, I know because uh-huh. he called me when all this was going on.
I see.
He doesn't know though that I know that it was it's on DJ prep services.
Well, he
there.
Probably doesn't know that either, right?
No, he doesn't. So you want to call and tell him? I don't. I need to call him on the air and tell
well,
him.
Well, you
that.
Might want to give him the heads up. You know.
Just
let me in case. But is it the kind of prep sheet where it's just a news story, or is it one of those things that we get occasionally where they have, you know, here's the crazy lady that made the house out of cheese.
And here's her phone number.
No, right. it's one yeah. of those things you got to do detective work,
yeah.
I think.
No,
he's okay. And it was just interesting because, you know, and again, that's Frank. Because if it was anybody else, I would expect that they would just say, "Hey, I read in this sheet,
right.
is it the same person?"
Mm-hmm.
But Frank says, "Oh, and one more thing, how's your brother?"
Yeah.
Now, you know, because that
creepy Frank.
That's yeah. not creepy Frank, just Catholic Frank is yeah. just that's the only way that I could say he's just so afraid to offend.
Right.
So afraid to, you know, it was just, "And what about your brother?" Like, "Well, he's great."
Sure. Yeah.
And he said, "Yeah. Really? How's he doing?" And I'm thinking, "What the hell are you asking me about?" I said, "Oh, well, you guys, there's this thing with the internet and Frank.
Goodness maybe
thanks.
He thought he was giving you a heads up."
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, like I wouldn't know that my brother was in trouble.
Well, then that doesn't leave Frank many other options.
No, it doesn't. Well,
he should have shut his mouth.
Maybe he didn't know. I don't know. And then I got all excited about the Packers drafting that guy at number 24. Like, I criticize you about your love of the Red Sox and how every little thing makes your day or makes your week or turns your life upside down.
I've gotten better since they won a world championship, but you're absolutely right.
I'm telling you, yesterday, I'm watching this guy slip in the draft, and I'm saying to anybody that will listen to me, if he's there at 24, they're taking him. And now I'm thinking, trade up, you dumbasses. Trade up.
Right.
Get this guy. Get this guy. This guy's the man. I love this guy.
Well, but you know how it is in the NFL, though. I mean, this guy's the man. And what are the percentages of drafted players from college that make NFL teams?
Not a lot, but Mike, this is, and they're saying this, this is going to be like, he's going to be like one of these Joe Montana, Tom Brady guys. One of these guys that everybody says he sucks and what's wrong with it. Just wait. Right. Tonya, good pick.
What's
by the
his
Packers.
Name so we can remember this prediction?
His name is Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers.
Very good.
Aaron, like Aaron Spelling. That's his name. He's quarterback from California. So I watched the draft. You know, and I don't know, maybe I need NFL Viagra in the offseason, but the draft does not do it for me. Like, I was not...
Are they still making it the big hype machine that they've always made?
Yeah.
You'd even said you weren't going to watch it this time.
Yeah, well, I turned it on. Right. I was a liar, Buzz. But,
you
but I wasn't...
Mistake, but you shouldn't watch the draft. You should listen to the draft.
What, like on this station?
Absolutely.
For example.
Well, what was great is after every pick, you still had 80 seconds to figure out what it was.
Isn't that exciting?
Oh, did they run the delay during the draft?
Yes.
So you mean that when the Redskins, and that's the team that our station covers, when they made a pick and announced it, you didn't hear it on the radio for 80 seconds?
That is my understanding.
Isn't that terrific?
Isn't that
something? When news breaks, we'll have it in 80 seconds.
That's right. Well, give us 80 seconds and we'll give you what we should have told you a minute and a half ago.
So you're not having, like, dreams about Mel Kiper Jr. anymore?
No, but... I'm sorry.
I remember the year we had to have Mel Kiper Jr. on this show.
Oh, yeah.
I loved it. He was a mile a minute. That guy. Listen, the guy's a douche, but he's so Mel Kiper.
Yeah, it was fun.
But no, he's excited. He was on the phone last night. You know, and everybody I called, no matter who it was, football fan or non-football fan, I was called mainly football fans.
Mm-hmm.
The reaction was unanimous, I'd say. What about, man, am I psyched? And it was all pretty much, okay, stupid ass, dumb moron, excited about something that doesn't even matter. Get off the telephone, shut up.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear Rick D's tapes his show? Then I got their attention.
Of course.
You know, but nobody wants to share my joy about the draft.
Well, I'll keep an eye on this QB for you, and good luck to the Packers.
Oh, now. Thank you, Mike, for that, and thank you for putting that in the machine. Rob,
go Pack, go.
Hold on a second. Let's set this. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don, how you doing?
Hey, we're doing very well.
Hey, Aaron Rodgers grew up about 50 miles from Sacramento, so they're going to be linked to Sacramento for the next 15 years.
Wow. You love to ruin my
joy. There is the connection between you and the people of Sacramento. Once again, you've always said... You're the only person on the show that would like to live there.
Yes, I would.
And here's this quarterback from Sacramento. Now another thing for you to bond with the people of Sacramento or Stockton or Chico or Modesto, one of the many fine suburbs of Sacramento.
You know all the suburbs. Oh, hold on, real fast.
Folsom.
Dinner with Buzz and Marcia. We went out to dinner. My wife and I went out with Buzz and Marcia.
Right.
Saturday night. Had a great time.
Mm-hmm.
As Marcia wrote in an email, I think, to my wife on Sunday, it's amazing we could be friends with a couple for 20 years, and we still like going out with them. We still have things to talk about with them.
Very nice.
The only thing I want to bring up, and now it's going to be piling on, after all this talk about your tight pink sweater blouse, and I know it was a gift from your wife.
Yes.
Because Frida hit me to that.
Uh-huh. What time did you, when did you schedule the dinner?
7:30.
Okay.
In the morning.
So are there any last minute changes?
We had to be gone before Frank Murphy showed up.
So here's the deal. We're waiting outside the restaurant for Buzz and Marcia,
right.
and they come across the street. And the first thing I said to Frida is, I said, oh, my God, look, he's wearing a velvet jacket.
Yeah.
And she said, no, it's not velvet. And they got closer, and I said, oh, you bet you're not going to. It's like velvet rope, like in a movie theater.
Uh-huh.
I said, I got to feel that thing.
Maroon.
So they came over.
You've worn that here.
I don't think I've ever worn the velvet jacket out before. No.
Just the shirts.
Just the jammies.
And I was dying to say to you, thank God I didn't.
Yes.
Because, you know, I'm just kidding about the way you dress. You got more style than I've ever had.
I have no problem with
that. But what I wanted to say, if you're going to wear your PJs, go all the way. And right as I was about to say
Was he wearing the velvet jacket with the leather pants?
No, I think you had sensible slacks on.
No, I had actually jeans. It was casual chic. It was a velvet, velvet
casual chic
maroon jacket with jeans.
Nice. What kind of blouse?
What kind of shirt did I wear? I don't even remember. A white shirt. Just a white cotton shirt under.
So we're sitting inside, and I said to Frida, because we're sitting boy girl boy girl, and I lean over. It's loud, and I don't want to be heard. I said, do you think I should goof him on his coat? And she said, Marcia got it for him for Christmas. But it was like vintage. Okay.
So, slow down.
So not even a discussion. However, I will tell you, I noticed this about my good friend Buzz.
What's that?
His binky, his nicotine binky, is out of friggin' control.
You still got it? Out of control how?
Out of control.
That's perfectly in control.
You've got it in your hand right now.
Now, do you have to refill that with stuff?
He did it during...
like half a dozen cartridges a day.
He did it during dinner, Mike. Part of our dinner conversation was Buzz discussing that he's quit smoking, but he likes nicotine.
You know how I know he's addicted? Uh-huh. Try to pin him down on when he's going to be weaned off that thing. You don't have an answer for
I know the answer. It's never.
Yeah.
The answer is never. Because
I don't see any need.
Because he's figured out that he loves the nicotine, that's not what kills you on the cigarettes. Uh-huh. He's addicted to it. But he was telling us, and I got the absolute most minute to the nano details. He said, you can suck on one of these for approximately 20 minutes. You get 4 or 5 good, satisfying sucks, and then you have to refill.
What's the flavor like?
It
tastes like nicotine.
It's kind of gross.
You really don't taste much. It's not all that pleasant at first, but you quickly grow used to it.
How much do they cost, the cartridges?
I really don't know. With my insurance copay, it's $25 a month.
So while we're sitting,
insurance pays for it.
So that's right.
While we're sitting at dinner, he is refilling his nicotine binky.
Wow.
And while we're eating, I will notice that Buzz will take a bite and have a glass of water and then pick up his binky and
suck on the binky.
Suck on the binky.
Actually, I didn't even do that during the meal. I waited, I think, until the meal was over, like when it was coffee time.
Now with this binky, they must have some sort of, I would assume, instructions with it, right?
I think they're in the bottom of the box. Mm-hmm. I haven't really dug them out.
And those instructions might include, like, when you're supposed to end your relationship with the binky, or at least begin to wean yourself off of
it. There might actually be something about that in there. I don't know.
You don't choose to read that, right?
I haven't gotten to it yet.
Frida asked me on the way home on Saturday night. She asked me, she said, so how is Buzz doing with the stopping? I said, I think he stopped smoking. I said, but I think that binky thing, that's it. And how about this? He said that without his binky, the thing that he sucks on with the nicotine to help you allegedly stop smoking, he could not have made it on his recent flight from here, from D.C. to Los Angeles.
It's a good thing they've reinforced the cockpit doors, because I would probably go crazy. And
see, now, I didn't
know
you were that nicotine nutty that you couldn't be on an airplane.
Sadly, it's a sad, sad commentary, but it's true.
Do you think at a certain point, seriously, you'll be able to wean yourself off of that?
I don't even want to discuss that.
You don't want to
because he doesn't want to.
But you haven't had a cigarette in how long?
I've been, 3 weeks, 3.5 weeks now?
How many of those little binky things have you had?
I said I go through about a half a dozen of the cartridges a day. Fortunately, they come in a big box of them, so it just looks like they're going to last forever.
See, I mean, I guess my little nicotine habit's different than other people. I didn't have a cigarette today. I didn't have a cigarette all day Sunday. You know how many I had Saturday night?
How many?
600.
That's a lot.
Yeah, it's a tremendous amount.
But when we've flown across country before, you've been able to be fine without cigarettes. It seems to me you are more nicotine dependent now than you were before.
Do you know, in those days, though, Rob, I actually used the patch and the gum and whatever I could stick to my body.
You used the patch and the gum, like, just to get across the country and stuff like that?
For a longer flight, yeah. When we were doing the shuttle to New York, no, I could make it a couple hours.
I never saw the patch.
But, I mean, while you were smoking, you would, like, have a nicotine supplement to just avoid smoking?
Just to avoid getting unfriendly.
Wow.
Yeah.
How about that?
Brush.
Learning all kinds of stuff about Buzz today.
Did you ever patch and gum at the same time?
No.
I hope he doesn't lose his binky during motorcycle school.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then I'll be the one that's in trouble.
You don't want that.
Or swallow the binky.
But we had a great time, Buzz, and thanks again to you and Marcia.
We had a great time, too. Thank you.
And I don't often do this, but I will mention the restaurant we were at, the Crystal City Restaurant.
Yeah. Good show. Always a good time and great entertainment.
It's a great place to go take your wife.
Best grilled cheese
okay,
in town.
Hold on. Got to do a break, but first, let me ask you something. Who sings this record? And more importantly, is this a hit record?
There's a black and white photograph of everyone. I know the place and the year that it was taken.
All right, it's not a goof.
I'm going to say Elvis Costello.
Well, you're giving the guy a hell of a compliment. Buzz, any guesses?
Yeah, no, it's more like Kenny Loggins to me.
It's Russell Crowe.
Ah, okay.
And, well, hold on, when we come back, we'll tell you, why he's pissed at the world about this record.
Okay.
About this. This piece of musical brilliance by Russell Crowe.
Black and white photograph of everyone.
Why does it start out like a Ray Conniff song?
Yeah, really.
It starts off like a, dun, like a dun, dun, Peter, Paul, and Mary thing almost.
Right.
Like, you know,
very old.
Puff. The Magic Dragon.
I'm loving you lots and lots.
Are you a pothead, Parker?
No, Jack. I pass on grass.
That's Russell Crowe. Uh-huh. And that's Russell Crowe without his band. That's a solo record.
Houses, foresters, we're still proud.
Okay, I get jokes. Russell Crowe. Crowe. Okay, I get jokes.
I was asleep at the wheel. You had to explain it to me.
Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, Donald, I'm Mike. What's up?
Yeah, hi.
Hey, did you guys see the article in the Metro section today about the cousins getting married?
I looked at it briefly,
Yes.
And all the battles they've been fighting over the years.
And God, I hope they're allowed to get married.
Amen.
I hope they get married on our show.
Well, the best part about it is he unfortunately collects unemployment or something, but she works at the jewelry counter at Walmart, which is also where he proposed to her.
That's the way to do it.
It's a good story.
Yeah.
We're trying to get him on the show.
Excellent.
It's going to be our Valentine's Day in April show. But hold on, we're getting off track here. This powerful new single by Russell Crowe has him pissed off.
It's a black and white photograph of Raymond.
Black and white photograph of who? Raymond?
I'll tell you why after this.
All good tease.
I got to talk about a freaking dog dying? Casey, that's ponderous.
Two?
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I miss you.
Yeah, you should. You never come see me.
I've been busy.
Everybody's busy. And don't lie to me. I know your father forbids your coming. I shouldn't use that kind of talk. Don't let me ever catch you talking that way.
Don and Mike, the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike. Roger, you don't know if you'll fill a book.
Always immensely thought. The Don and Mike Show.
Right.
Ah, the Waterloo.
Mama!
Before you call, I have no idea who this is.
Oh, okay.
This is just some disc that my kid burned for me. I think I've played parts of it before. It has a bunch of metal bands doing ABBA songs.
Covering ABBA. Funny.
Yeah. And I've always thought that this sounds like Boston. I mean, it's funny, but I find myself listening to it all the time. I think it's Warren. Mike, I would agree with you there, but wait until it gets to the next part where it has the Boston-like guitar. Hey, what's happening? This is Warren!
Wake up!
That's an old tape we used to have. Warren, they did one of those things saying they liked the show. Okay, now, it sounds like Boston right here. Where he goes that. My. That sounded to me like Boston.
Very much so. I remember when that first came out, and you went nuts over it and played it all the time. But it's not Russell Crowe.
No, it's not.
Okay.
It's got a million different games. rock and roll things. What is it? Oh, this is Take a Chance on Me.
You take a chance.
But it's good because it's like an angry rock and roll version of Take a Chance on Me. Oh, also, Beth Ann tells me that there's a lot of people. There's a lot of people that have come in for the fastest finger contest.
Yes, good.
But they've been afraid to come in the studio because they don't know what it's going to involve.
Okay. Well, that's what makes it exciting.
It's a secret. If I told you what it was, you'd be able to cheat.
But no reason to be afraid, right?
So now we've only got, I think we've got like 20 people show up, and only two, between two and six,
Need to be afraid,
are actually still here to play the game. We'll do it in our next break. It'll work with two people, five people, whatever. The more people, the better. Fastest finger, all you have to do is come by the station, mm-hmm. be on the show, and have a cell phone.
Hey, can I just tell them it does not involve Wendy's chili?
And we will not break your phone. And, oh, before the Russell Crowe thing.
You're the fastest, thanks. Leave the finger with
fingers.
Us.
Okay, fingers. I was slow on that one.
Yeah. My kids were obsessed with that story,
sure.
And we went to Wendy's over the weekend, and they didn't want to go because of the finger. And I hope I had this right when I explained the news story. The news story was the lady got busted because they proved that it was kind of a hoax. However, they have not been able to identify where the finger came from.
We still don't know.
But they have determined that the lady was scamming them, right?
She's been arrested. What will happen, what evidence they're going to present in court, I don't know.
Because the bottom line is, if she's been arrested, they think she faked it. But the fact is, she found a finger somewhere and put it in the chili.
Right, correct.
Very scary.
The last thing before Russell Crowe. Just a piano update. Because I spent some time last week discussing how when my wife plays the piano, it pisses me off. And we came to, I believe, last night, kind of a compromise.
Oh, good.
When, I don't know what it was, 8 o'clock, something like that. And she said, I'm going to practice the piano. And she started to play the piano again. And I went in the other room and I said, here's the thing. You play songs that I hate. And she plays classical music or music that her teacher thinks that she should learn. I said, I wouldn't hate it so much if you played anything from my era.
Right.
And she said, well, like what? And she's got a million songbooks out. Mm-hmm. So I picked one. I said, right here, Eleanor Rigby.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give my wife credit here. This is where she can play the piano.
Mm-hmm.
She said, well, I've never even tried it. I said, come on. Yeah, I know you can do it. So she opened it up,
uh-huh.
opened the book up, and it was a little slow and elementary. But I said to her, see, that doesn't piss me off, because that's a song that I've heard. And even if I hear you playing it and making a mistake in it, at least it won't
be like the real piano,
where
she has to play with the metal fingers.
It's
your anger.
Do you dig what I'm saying, though? It's a song that I've heard.
Right. Oh,
then
totally.
At 7:20 in the morning, if she's down there and she's just playing, Beethoven's whatever movement it is, and there's the occasional off note, it's going to piss me off. Now if I'm walking around and it's, hey, Macarena, or, some song
that you like. Don't worry, be happy.
All my favorites.
All the stuff you grew up on.
Right. Mr. Telephone Man. All those songs. Guitar Zan by Ray Stevens.
Yes.
There's a variety of tunes.
That's
she could
pretty.
Do.
Anything from Jerry Reed.
I would say that it is a piano breakthrough that we finally had.
Well, that's good.
Had a compromised position last night.
Now you will love all the music she plays. It will all be tailored to your taste.
No, it won't. She said she would try hard to work one song in.
Does she sing when she's playing at all?
Shut up.
Eleanor Rigby.
Shut up, Mike. I don't need her singing.
It might add to the whole presentation.
I need Russell Crowe.
So,
we got this record from Russell Crowe's record label, I don't know, a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to put it in a pile where if we ever wanted to play, like, the mystery record,
right,
it would be, well, who would believe this is Russell Crowe?
I saw my kangaroo dad, Mike.
Let me see. This is a song called, he spells it R-A-E-Y-W-N.
It's called Willibong with a Googly. Catch a Gribbley on the Wing.
Oh, Ray Wan.
Ray Wan?
Yes, that sounds like what he's singing.
Okay.
It's hard to tell.
Now, we got this. Here's the original press release. Listen to it now,
all right? No one read the despair.
Sing it, you jolly swag man.
This is garbage. Anyway, we got this as a follow-up in the mail. It came on Friday, but it's funny. Now, it's from his record label, but it's a note allegedly from Russell Crowe to the radio programmers, not only of America, but he's also written to the BBC radio and to worldwide radio.
Good day, mate.
Russell Crowe writes, quote, how come my song...
Ray Wan, I guess.
How come my song Ray Wan is not a worldwide smash? It's the only song I've written that has made men and women cry. It's made people think and call their parents, usually in that order. I have emails from Sting and Billy Bragg, two of my writing heroes, that give their testament to the quiet power of the song. Now, what he's mad about is that he released this throughout the world a month and a half ago.
Okay.
And nothing has happened.
No fire.
It never made it onto the Hot 100 in America.
Huh.
It never made it onto the Hot 100 in Britain. It never made it onto the Hot 40 or whatever they have in Australia or anywhere.
Yeah.
So now Russell Crowe says, you people don't know the last part of the note, and it's incredibly, it's filled with big words about how stupid people are, and that we don't know the power of this song.
Mm.
And furthermore, the reason it's not a hit is because the radio stations in the Americas, as he writes, have refused to support him because of his political views.
Really?
Yeah. Yes. That's the reason. This is not a worldwide smash, which he's convinced it is.
A black and white photograph of Raven. I know the place and the year that it was taken.
Listen, dude, you're a good movie actor. I kind of like the way you are off screen, that you don't take any crap from anybody.
Uh-huh.
I even sat through your goddamn Inside the Actor Studio thing. I thought you were kind of refreshing.
Wow.
But, dude,
is there any hook to it?
You're hearing the hook.
This is it? I mean, this is through the whole thing?
This is the way it goes. I mean, Bruce Willis made better records.
No harmony or anything like that?
Yeah. Well, I'll let it go for another second here, Mike, but I've not heard any harmony.
Just a catchy refrain.
In your print up and your flares, so much light in your eyes. No one read.
And then I'm reading that this is the song that broke up his band.
Really? Oh, wonder.
He had a band where he would go and tour, and he said the band didn't really matter to him. And what he said to the guys in the band when he wanted to do this song was, they said, that's a garbage song. And he said, screw you. The band is no more. The song...
He broke up the band over a song?
Yes, because...
Interesting.
Because he thought this song is a smash. And now he and his record...
There's the harmony. No, no, this is just strings.
Yeah. Anyway, he writes, how can you program music to people with the conscience problems? This is a song that will make men and women cry. I feel bad for you for what you're depriving your audience. Sincerely.
Oh, that's not the way to do it, Russell.
Russell, listen.
He doesn't get it.
Well, what's the matter with my master and commander?
No, listen, Russell. As I mentioned, I'm a big fan, but I'm also a radio guy.
All right.
And I think I know what makes a hit record. This.
His life and heart have been polarized.
That's not a hit.
No.
You want a hit?
Well, nothing's been the same since he left that day.
Yeah. Oh.
Momentum for the skin slowly fades.
You know what I forgot to tell you?
Joe Gibbs?
Now people are clapping.
I completely forgot to tell you this.
What, Mike? Redskins
land, I watched the opening day ceremonies of the Boston Red Sox.
Yeah?
And I'm into it. They're getting their World Series rings.
Oh, Mike, excuse me one second.
Yes. They're getting there, they raised the flag, the banner, and everything. And then, said, now as we raise the banner, let's ring Red Sox Balladeer in. And it's some hunyak that had written one of those songs, you know.
Oh.
This is for Ted and Joe D. This is for, and I'm sitting there going,
it's
just like this.
And the guy comes out, and he's just a schlub that wrote one of these fan songs.
Right.
And it was the only part of the whole ceremony, which was a great ceremony, that totally sucked.
Mm-hmm.
And it reaffirmed my hatred of fan songs like this one.
Here you go.
We love your legacy.
Oh, God.
It's not good like this.
Jerk.
Dumb jerk, movie star, can get any chick you want,
yeah.
Get drunk, do anything you want in the world, and this is what you're pissed about? The fact that your dumb record is not a hit? Stupid.
Well, hasn't he? He's got a bit of a track record for being a bit of a brawler, too, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's
right. Not a happy guy.
Kind of dig him. This is an item that would interest Rob.
Yes?
And that's it. Or maybe someone else. Johnny, you know, Rob's got this thing. He collects old microphones.
Oh, yes. Yes, he does. Yes, he does.
Were you getting an earwig out?
No.
What were you doing?
No, it's just I had an itch behind my
ear. Okay, see, I didn't know if you were putting your finger in your ear.
No, I didn't put it in the ear. I put it behind the ear.
Because that's such a great gag when Ryan Seacrest did that, when
right.
He put his ear in his finger in his ear, then he licked his finger.
You know, I do. I sit over here sometimes and do, you know, sight gag cartwheels, and you're looking out the window. I right. Scratch behind my ear, and all of a sudden you're looking at me like an eagle.
Why?
Please? I don't want to argue with you. Like you did with Buzz.
Yes, of course.
Look at Buzz. He's not been himself since you tore him apart in the opening segment.
Stop it. Just tell me, what is Rob like?
Does
Rob like?
I like Mike O'Mara.
Okay, he likes microphones. Yeah. And he spends a lot of money on microphones.
There goes the sight gag. Mike messing up his hair, turning his headphones sideways, now scratching his armpit.
Oh, my God.
Oh. Now scratching the nether region.
This back brace really is getting to me.
I need to see that. Okay.
Okay,
I'm sorry that I said, is your finger in your ear? Right. I thought
just
you might
Let me finish.
Oh, there we go. I got it. I got that good one. There we go. We're all set. It's, you know, it's better if I stand.
You know, I think now you better wash those hands. Those hands... Yeah. They went down.
Smells like mustard.
Your pants.
Smells like mustard. It really does.
In front of your pants. Mm. All right, Tiger. Well, I'm not here to piss you off today.
Yeah. You don't want to do that.
Like Buzz did.
Yeah.
I was just commenting. I thought you were doing the funny thing.
No, I wasn't.
Johnny, his microphone. How much would you pay for the actual microphone?
The desk mic?
Yep, that Johnny used on The Tonight Show.
That's the desk mic is a wonderful piece of TV. I'm going to say $10,000.
Buzz?
Oh, $100,000.
$50,000.
Okay.
$50,000 for the microphone, and it has a label.
Would you
on
want it?
Oh, my God. Are you mm-hmm.
yeah. It has a plaque on it, a label type thing that says Johnny's mic, not Ed's. Not Fred's. And that's a reference to the fact that Ed McMahon and Freddie DeCordova was the producer of the show, so it was just Johnny's mic.
I remember with The Tonight Show, they had the desk mic and maybe a couple of lavaliers that they'd clip on, but then you had the big boom mic that you could occasionally see, because somebody would mess with it once in a while.
Would you use it as a sexual device, Rob?
I would, yes.
How many microphones do you own now?
Yeah. I think a dozen now, and I just bought a great one yesterday.
Cool.
And it's too expensive.
Oh, Rob's microphone collection.
We asked for permission before we bought this one.
Oh, really?
Yes, even though it was my money.
Yeah. I see.
Right.
Listen, even though all of us are very happily married, with the exception of Mike, who's happily divorced,
mm-hmm.
It could be worse, no matter what your situation.
It can always be worse.
You could be Kobe Bryant. Listen to this poor bastard. Now, everybody knows what he did, okay, with the girl in Colorado. And he got his wife to sit up there with him. But how long ago was this? This was a year ago. And, okay, he ruined the Lakers season because Shaq went to Miami and everything. But still... He's Kobe.
Right.
Now, listen to this. His wedding anniversary with his wife, Vanessa, was Thursday.
Right.
Now, you remember when all this stuff with him and the chick in the hotel came out? He gave her that big, gigantic ring when they sat together?
The wife.
Yeah.
Right.
Listen to what he did for her. He rented Crystal Cove. That's a state park.
Okay.
In Laguna Beach, California.
Mm-hmm.
He rented a state park. Then... He ended up spending more than $50,000 to make dinner. They ate on a hexagon-shaped deck that was built on the sand to look like one of their favorite restaurants, Dolce. They had a chandelier hung over the dinner table. They had Vera Wang china, thousands of pink flowers, Vanessa's favorite. The cake they had for dessert was from her favorite bakery, Sweet Lady Jane. And at the end of all of this, he got down on his knee and asked her to marry him again.
All over again.
Mm-hmm. All over again.
Would they helicopter everything in or something like that?
Yes, they did. And the total price tag for his recommitment ceremony with his wife.
Rental, fancy dinner, the whole nine yards, flying the food in.
$280,000.
That's what you can do if you're an NBA superstar.
I guess so.
Isn't she a lucky lady?
Quoting her, what, no candles?
Okay. real fast here, so we want to get this fastest finger thing with our listeners that are here. We will comment about this tomorrow. Here are the ugliest cars. First, before we start, I'll tell you, my... I don't mind to piss off anybody in the audience driving this car, but I've always said the ugliest car is a Honda Element. If you're driving that car right now, drive it into a pole. I don't care if we lose a listener. You're an idiot for having that car. Mike, what do you think the ugliest car is?
In the list, I'd be with you on the Honda Element. The Chrysler M300 with that ugly front grille.
That's in the top 10.
Hmm.
Buzz.
I like the idea of the Prius, but I don't think it's a handsome car. That would be my choice for the least attractive car.
You are out. Here are the
top... not in the top 10.
It's not. Number 10 ugliest car of the year is, and this is from Car Talk, the BMW 5. Number 9 is the...
Is the BMW 5 an SUV? Is that, I think that's an... I'm not sure.
Here's what it says. With the granny glasses headlights and the awkward body creases, it looks like a Pontiac on acid.
Okay, I'm not sure which one it is.
Then you've got the Chrysler 300. Mike, there you go. Winner for you.
All right.
Then you have Dodge Magnum.
Yeah.
Chevy
Avalanche. Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Subaru Baja.
Yeah.
The Chrysler PT Cruiser.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
At number 4, my choice, the Honda Element.
That's a box on wheels.
It is.
Number 3, the Hummer H2.
Now I'm surprised at that.
Number 2, the Toyota... How do you pronounce this?
Prius?
No.
Oh, that thing. That's the Scion.
The Scion.
Oh, the Scion.
We have one in our parking lot.
Yeah. And number 1, and I agree with this one. I've hated it for a long time. The Pontiac Aztec.
Yeah. That's horrible.
Isn't
the Pontiac Aztec and the Chevy Avalanche? No, they're different cars.
Avalanche is bigger, but it's the same idea.
That's right. Those are good choices. I like that one.
Oh, Mike, I meant to tell you when we were talking before, Will Ferrell is going to be in the movie The Land of the Lost. If you remember the TV show, he signed to be in that.
So that answers the question about the drama.
No, they're doing it as a comedy.
Are you sure?
I am absolutely positive.
Okay, all right.
I am absolutely positive. Mm. Also on our website today, what did that mean?
I don't know. We'll have to see.
Watch it, you.
All right. Do you know for 100% sure?
Yes, because I read about it in, I don't know what, Entertainment Magazine.
Okay, I'm not trying to fight.
But no.
I'm not.
Because I've known that. I would have thrown that out and said he's signed to be in the science fiction
Land of
movie.
The Lost.
But it's going to be one of those.
So the Sleaze Stacks will be comedy Sleaze Stacks.
Funny Sleaze Stacks.
Funny Sleaze Stacks.
And Chaka will be funny, too.
The guy that's going to be Superman is a guy from a soap opera. If you go to DonnaMikeWebsite.com after the show today, you'll see a picture of him in a Superman uniform. Everyone's been asking me about the station, my thoughts about it.
Mm-hmm.
Here it is. Mm-hmm. I like it. It's classic.
This is the uniform you're commenting on?
Yes.
Or what's in it?
What they have. Well.
Homo. Homo.
At that.
Homo. 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 Homo.
Wow.
Here's what they've done. They've made the S a little smaller.
Uh-huh.
The red, they've turned almost maroon.
The muted color.
Which I'm not for, and the yellow's not bright enough, but it's not a bad Superman suit.
It looks to me like a bad print of it because it's so... It looks almost like it's faded out a little.
No, they're using dull colors, the duller blue, duller red, and duller yellow.
You're looking right there, aren't you?
At the cod piece?
Homo.
At his cod piece.
Okay, one more.
Yes,
and then
that's what it is.
Then we're going to get to these people for the fastest finger contest. This is a feel-good... Love it. I have had the privilege of skydiving before. I've done it twice. My wife won't allow me to do it anymore because she's afraid I'll kill myself.
Yes.
I love it. The first time I did it, I broke a finger. The second time, no problems.
Didn't you sneak out both times to do it?
Yes. Lied to her and told her I was doing something else. Biggest rush I've ever had. This comes from, I don't know, somewhere in South Florida. Skydiver. Cinematographer. He jumped out of an airplane on Saturday. Going to be doing a little skydiving, going to do a little movie taking.
Right.
Okay. He had deployed his parachute on Saturday.
Good.
When he struck the left wing of the plane, 600 feet above the ground.
600 feet?
Yeah. Not really sure exactly how this happened, how the plane was flying so low, and how he got caught up in the plane. Both of the man, the guy's last name is Wing.
You know, they're ironic.
Both of Wing's legs had to be severed at the knees when he ran into the plane. I mean, as he got caught up, as he got tangled in the airplane.
He fell into a different plane than the one he jumped out of, did he? Or no, was
same,
it the plane he jumped
plane.
Out of?
What the hell is he jumping out of a plane in? If he's jumping out of a plane at 600 feet, he's going to die.
When I did it, it was like 6,000 feet for the first time. I can't imagine that he jumped out at 600. I imagine he jumped out and the plane somehow came down. I don't know all the details.
And maybe like, wait, because you said at the beginning of the story, his chute deployed.
Yes.
And then he was probably struck by the plane.
But at 600 feet, why would the plane be at 600 feet by where he was as he's floating towards the ground?
Maybe it was landing.
This was an unfortunate miscue.
Uh-huh. What does the story say exactly?
Okay. He had deployed his parachute Saturday when he struck the left wing of the twin otter propeller plane at 600 feet.
Ouch.
Both of his legs were severed at the knees.
Ugh.
But he managed to maneuver his parachute and land.
Great.
He's dead.
Oh.
There you go.
Had he lived...
He died after he landed?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Had he lived, he could have worked on a Dorf-style video. He could have sold them. Like Tim Conway.
Dorf on skydiving.
Anyway, that's the feel-good. That's all I got for you, but that's a good one.
Well, he would have died anyway.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah,
even if he hadn't hit the plane's wing. Because you jump out of a plane at 600 feet, you're going to die. This, you don't have time for your chute to deploy. Or maybe you do. They do it off of skyscrapers and stuff?
Yeah, but he had... I think the story is that he had...
That's the mystery fact of that story.
We'll find out about it. Another story... And we've got our break. Another great story for the weekend. Was that chick at the hockey game?
Yeah.
Okay.
The one that screwed up the anthem.
So there's this... She's not fat like Kirstie Alley, but...
No, she's...
Heavy.
She's very average.
Okay. Mm-hmm. She's coming out on the ice to sing the national anthem at a hockey game in Canada. Of course, that's the only place we still play hockey.
Right.
She screws up the words.
Yeah, and she doesn't screw up the words like where she tries to sing through it. She screws up the words where she's singing, and she stops and, like, walks off the ice because she doesn't know the lyric.
Oh.
And she comes back, and she's got a piece of paper in her hand.
So they boo her off the ice.
Yeah.
And they show her standing in the wings, and they give her the words, and she comes back out, and the crowd gives her one of these.
She's got the lyrics in her hand.
She's very brave. She's going to come out and try it again.
The trooper.
She steps on the ice, and I swear to Christ, both feet go out from under her, and she falls right on her big fat ass.
And just laid there for a moment.
Yeah,
you didn't know whether she was unconscious. And then she stood right back up.
And she just left.
Wow.
So sad.
Greatest video. The greatest.
Great.
Almost as good as the guy losing his legs skydiving.
Yeah, you just can't compete with that.
Funny is as funny does.
Now listen, when the plane takes off, all right, 16 seconds after we take off, jump. We'll be at 600 feet.
Okay, fastest finger.
Yes.
With listeners here. In our studios with their cell phones, and we come right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The child that you're in charge of. And you have to do right by the child. And the child will ask for things that they shouldn't be given.
Tell them, Jerry.
Because it'll make them ultimately less happy. It'll be a better feeling for them. Mm-hmm. They'll look back on this thing and have something that they experienced in their lives that didn't go to hell.
The Don and Mike Show.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe in you.
There we are.
Uh-oh.
Hold on. There you go. Slam it on the ground. try it again.
Uh-oh. There. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Valuable tape.
Working amongst the drones. The Don and Mike Show.
All right. Sure are. And hello there. Don and Mike Show.
Hey,
hello.
Don.
Hey, hi.
Hey, I'm calling about the skydiver.
Yeah.
He actually jumped out of the plane with film and a group going down.
Uh-huh.
The plane circled around and up with the legs that were landing.
Oh, God, nasty. All right.
Imagine,
I mean, 600 feet, you're almost done.
The landing.
What?
Fortunately, he stuck the landing.
No, you don't get a t-shirt for that.
He stuck the landing.
You don't get nothing for that.
Okay. That's nasty.
Let's bring in the fastest finger. Now, surprising demographic. What is this? The fastest finger in music? What the hell is this?
Well, I think there are what?
This will not
what
do.
The hell is
I'm
this?
Sorry, I didn't mean to have
what the hell kind of music is that?
Bring him in, B.A.
Wow.
Yeah. Fastest finger.
Fellas, come on up to the microphone.
B.A. tells me that we've had 18 people stop by.
There were tons of people outside.
And only two of them, as it turns out, were brave enough to come in and play the game. And you're going to find out that it's a very easy game to play.
Absolutely.
So one of you is going to win a trip to Las Vegas, courtesy of Independence Air. Visit flyeye.com. And $250. And the loser gets one of our Ron Mexico t-shirts. Now, first, let me see. You, the guy with the shaved head. What is your name?
Jason.
Jason, can you step up to that mic a little bit?
Sure.
Jason, where are you from?
I'm from Fairfax.
And
right
how
here
long,
in Fairfax.
Now, we did say that it would be important that you're a listener of the show and a fan of the show. How long have you been listening to the show?
As long as I can remember.
Very good.
So forever.
Forever.
Do you listen every day?
As much as I can.
Okay, that's good. Second guy. Hi, what is your name?
My name's Kevin.
And Kevin, where are you from?
I am from right up the street.
Another Fairfaxian?
Right on.
We have a battle of the local guys here.
How long have you been listening to the show?
About 96.
Okay, gotcha. Mm-hmm. You both have your phones? They're turned on?
Yeah.
Great. Let's hear a little bit about each of you first. Give us your first name, and then tell us a little about yourself. Let's start with, I already forgot the names.
Jason, you go first.
Right. Jason, tell us about yourself.
Sure, I grew up around here. I'm a teacher. I teach first grade.
Oh.
Life is good. Have a lot of fun.
Got a lot of friends? A
lot of friends, yes.
Okay, and how about you? Tell us, now we just need to know more about you so people listening will know who you are.
Okay.
What's your name?
My name is Kevin. I'm a teacher, high school teacher.
Another teacher. You guys know each other?
No. Yeah. So we just,
that's cool. Two educators.
Yeah. I went to Mary Washington College in Fredericksburg, Virginia. Go Eagles. I love the Don and Mike Show. Sports Junkies fan. I'm the Larry Michael voice.
All right. Very good. We've heard about both of you guys. Now, if you would please pass me your telephones. And as we probably, this is what people were so afraid of.
Yeah. They shouldn't be.
That we were going to break the phones or destroy the phones.
No. Okay.
Now, who's got the Verizon? Which one is this? That's you?
That's Kevin.
And
Jason has the Motorola.
Okay. Yeah. We have, the delay is 80 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
So, the question is why it's fastest finger. It had nothing to do with you guys and your fingers. If you are big fans of the show, undoubtedly, you must talk about the show to your friends. And hopefully, your friends are listening. Because the guy who has a friend call him on his cell phone first, wins the trip.
It's that easy.
That's why all these people that came and thought, oh, I'm going to have to, like, eat Jell-O
right.
or put my phone in the garbage or ruin my phone.
Now, what's that, Kevin?
I would have been eating Jell-O.
You would have eaten Jell-O? Who doesn't like Jell-O? Now, I have a question for you guys. How do you think your chances are? You feel confident that somebody out there, one of your friends, is going to call in?
I hope Graham calls.
Now, this is what you can do, because now this part's getting on the radio. I'm holding both phones by the microphones. Guys,
Kevin
both
has
of you,
the Verizon, and Jason has the Motorola phone.
Both of you should start calling out to your friends right now on the air to see if they're listening and get them to call.
Sure, call me,
there.
Courtney.
You've got to call me. All right, Kevin.
Shannon, call me.
Let's see, Marcy, come on.
Bruce.
You know, you've listened to the show. Anybody,
call.
A teacher at Chantilly High School, call my cell phone.
Elementary.
Somebody
that went to George Mason. I'm
going to
alumni.
I like this.
Mary Washington College.
Now, I'm holding both phones in my hand. Keep in mind, it's an 80-second delay, so
right.
You're not going to get the instantaneous call. No, you got to take
the 540 number.
703.
Baby, that's all you can give out, guys.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. It turned out, has the delay had time to get out there?
It has now been 80 seconds since you first said call their cell phone.
Okay, so guys, now again, even with more determination, who do you need, who you think is listening right now, to call on your cell? And if it's a wrong number, you're a big loser, because I'm answering the phone, and the person is going to have to prove to me that they're listening to the show.
All right. Andrew, call
Meredith,
me.
Meredith, you know my Larry Michael voice, you know, hi guys, come on, you know me, come on.
Somebody call me. Graham.
Anybody.
Stop being a lawyer. Call me. Your secretary. Call me.
Now, in the event that none of their friends are going to be coming up with the goods here,
then we will,
what is the ramp? Are they both thrown back?
Then we will step on their phones.
Of course.
No, they'll be thrown back. Listen,
they'll be thrown back, and we'll wait for somebody else. Well, then somebody else will know how to
do it. Well, no, we'll do it again with other people, or we'll do a different game. I did not think that we'd get a winner in 1 minute.
Right.
No. But what we need now is for each of you, starting with Jason, to talk a little bit more about yourself without giving your last name and where you live. But, dude, what if there's somebody listening right now who doesn't know that you're there, Jason?
All right, I'm the big, ugly, bald guy that's a school teacher. And if you know me, I'm a little wacky, and you wonder, how am I a school teacher? So give me a call. You know who you're talking about. Me, the one that worries you.
Now, are there people, Jason, that would hear you say that and might have your cell phone number?
Hold on, Mike.
Oh, we got it. Who is it?
Hold on.
What, it's the Motorola.
Okay, hold on. Let me pick it up.
John's going to answer the phone.
Hello? Yes, you're asking for Jason. Who's this? Charlie, why are you calling Jason? Because what? See what's... So he wants to talk about a camping trip with you.
Doesn't count.
You're right.
That doesn't count. That does not count.
Do you guys sleep in the same bag? Pardon me? Not, he said not yet.
Homo.
All right, he's very busy right now. He's getting waxed. Can he call you back? Okay, bye-bye.
Oh my God, what are the odds?
Wow. Now, do you think that guy was being funny, or are you really planning a camping trip with him?
Planning a camping
trip? Oh, he called. That's the beauty of this. That's the beauty.
That is even better.
Okay, now you step up and talk about your friends who should be listening to the show to call you on your show.
If you are on the Springfield Democratic Committee, you definitely know me. You know my cell phone number. If you're a Fairfax County Young Democrat, you know me. This is the Kevin, all right? This is the politician wannabe here. You know you want
to
be here.
Appealing to his political contacts out there.
What about any friends?
Nice to have a Democrat in the studio.
Do you guys, do you have personal friends who you think might be listening now?
Those are my friends.
He thinks. They're appealing to the other faculty members, and...
Still, neither phone is ringing or vibrating.
Except for Jason, I thought we had a winner with Jason. Yeah.
So did I.
That's amazing.
But that's the best for this game, that it really was a true wrong number.
And a true fastest finger game where we don't know.
I'm just hoping my girlfriend... pops y'all on around 6 o'clock, because that's
6 o'clock is 6 minutes from now.
We'll be gone, but
you guys are going to be gone in like 3 minutes. Here.
Married on this show. You should be listening.
All right, now go ahead, Jason. We'll give you another.
As a matter of fact, we're down to the. We got to put 2 minutes on the clock here for you guys. Now, Jason, who should be listening? Who got married
on
the show?
Peter and Courtney, you got married on this show. You should be listening. You should definitely be listening.
And they should know not to call our 877 number.
No. Right.
Call you guys directly on your cell, because I got both cell phones in my hand.
That's the important part.
Megan, Jason, we just drank 2 bottles of wine on Saturday night. You've got to be listening. You've got to be coming out of your classes right now. Come on. You know you're there.
See, what's great is that they can't cheat on this because they didn't know what to call. And all those people that were in the lobby that were afraid they were going to do something awful.
Yes, they chickened out.
And we couldn't tell you in advance. It was to see which one of your friends would call first, because you tell your friend to freaking call.
I was actually in there just practicing the punch.
Yeah, see, there was no dialing on your part. It's the fastest finger on your friend.
And I really thought we had a winner with Jason, but we don't.
Your phone is ringing. And, you got. Okay, you've got 1 minute left to reset. This is the fastest finger game. We have the cell phone of Jason and...
Kevin.
Kevin, I'm sorry about that, Kevin. We're not giving out their last names.
No.
But if you know either of these guys, call them, these are their phones, on their cell phones right now, and they'll win a trip to Las Vegas.
Wow. This is pressure, guys. Jason, anything to say?
If you played at Bobby's Palace, you know me.
Bobby's Palace.
I'm starting to worry about Jason. I really am. Between the camping trip and Bobby's Palace, I don't know what's going on. Bobby, what are you doing in your palace? There you go. And you, Kevin, anything you want to add?
Spotsylvania County. I was teaching with you all last year. I was drinking buddies. Eric, Ferdy, anybody. Please, for the love of God.
And we are running out of time, gentlemen.
How much time do we have left, Don?
Well, Mike, we have just passed the two-minute mark.
Wow.
Now, we got to do commercials or we're going to screw up the rest of the show with Buzz's News.
Right. Are you going to be generous enough to keep it? They'll have to be sequestered if they if we let them go through commercials.
Yeah. Go in the other room, guys, and leave your phones here with me. If we get
Make
somebody,
sure these gentlemen are supervised that they cannot call out.
But once again, come back and give your names and who should be calling. Well, never mind. Screw it. They just did it.
It's Jason and Kevin.
We got these phones during the commercial.
Let's make some 900 calls.
If they, this is probably why people didn't want to give us their phones.
Right.
Because we can go right to...
Right to their buddy list.
Last call dial. Uh-huh.
Gay Man's last, Choir. What the hell is that? Wow.
That's an interesting screensaver on this one.
What is it?
Really, but it's... look, it's a monkey.
Well, that's right? Good. Yeah. Hey, Rob, look at this one. National Aryan Brotherhood.
Oh, that's the old number.
Look at this one. Look at this screensaver. It's a couple of sailboats.
Sometimes you have no choice. Can't imagine why people were afraid to come in here.
So, Jason or Ryan,
right?
If you know these guys, call them. We're gonna
is one ringing there?
Oh, no.
I saw the light go on.
No.
I thought I saw the light go on. Oh, yeah, it's just from opening the...
I think the light went on just because...
Pushing button.
We should flip them down. They're flipped down. No, that's an old-fashioned
sound effect.
What
mine sounds like.
I wish.
That's an old-fashioned sound effect, though. So both of these phones will be right here in the studio during this break. Right.
Is anybody supervising our guys? I hope.
Yeah, Beth Ann picked them up.
Okay, very good.
And is kissing them back.
She's taking care of them.
Let me make sure that she...
Yeah, I've always given you 100%.
Oh, you got it in control? Yeah, she took the phone out of the green room.
The green room.
No need to call her. Hi, Beth Ann. Oh, you actually unplugged the phone.
Sure did. And then I frisked them to see if they had anything in the phone.
There you go.
Gotcha. Yeah,
okay, so
keep an eye on them.
We got the phones. If they ring during the break, we'll talk to the person. We'll call them back. Right. If not, this continues, and we'll do something else. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Right. Billy Squire.
Broadcasting with a belated sense of urgency, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Correct. Hello there. Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Tell me where you found that, the video of the woman slipping on the ice.
I found it. I found it on a little-known program called Good Morning America.
Good Morning America.
Yeah, have you heard of it?
I've heard of it.
Yeah. It's on a lot of stations.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
It was also on another obscure program called The Today Show.
Was it really?
I wonder if she made the trifecta. I wonder if she made it to the CBS Morning Show.
To that guy.
Are you retarded? It's not a rhetorical question. Are you retarded?
Okay, we're back with the fastest finger.
Yes.
And we've got these guys who have not given their last names. Now, guys, I believe you're both big fans of the show, listeners to our show.
Yeah.
Apparently, your friends are not.
And that's disappointing.
Because neither one of your cell phones rang during the commercial break.
Okay, and that means the total is only one ring, and that was from Camping Buddy.
Right.
Right. And he wasn't, calling you because of the show.
So again...
Which one of you had the sailboats on for a screensaver, incidentally? Not you. Was that you, Jason?
Jason?
What, I have on
what do you mean? Is that
hobbies, camping, and sailing?
Here's an honest question, and please don't be offended. Is it a lack of friends?
Possibly.
Okay, because I know in my case it would be. Guys, we'll keep this going because somebody's got to win the trip to Vegas.
Yeah.
Now, Jason, very briefly again, step up, tell us about yourself, and how about calling out some people who you think are listening to the show now?
Pat Walsh, Jimmy Walsh, your husband, Brad Meyer, call me. This is Jason, the big, ugly, bald-headed school teacher. You've known me for years. Pat, we graduated high school together. Graham Eddy, you should know me. Call me. I had all these names going through my head. Anybody knows me.
And again, don't call on our request line. Call Jason on his cell phone.
Now, if you have the number.
Do these people know your number?
Yes, they do.
Okay, because I know how I am with the numbers. Unless it's programmed in my phone.
Right.
Like what Mike's cell is.
Yeah.
I have no idea. I just know it's number 5 on my phone.
Right. The speed. Most of my speed dials. I do not have committed to memory.
Okay,
right.
Ryan, what about you?
This is Kevin.
Kevin, I'm sorry.
No problem. It's not a problem. It's a forgettable name. Let me give a shout out to all my peeps. Let's see. Let's get the rundown.
You look just like Kevin Seacrest.
All right. So let's go with all Chantilly. Come on, Chantilly High School. You know you want
all of Chantilly. Yes, Kevin. The town of Chantilly knows your cell phone number.
All right, Chantilly High School. Let's go, Young Dems. Let's go with Springfield Dems. You know me. Call me. Trip to Vegas on the line here.
Would you accept a call from a Republican?
Yes.
Okay.
Both contestants.
And again, with both of these guys, I'm holding their cell phones.
Right.
Right here. We're just waiting for either one to ring.
That's right. Both contestants, teachers from Fairfax. Jason has a 703 number. Kevin has a 540 number. And they have no friends.
Hold on. Let me take one of these. Hello. Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hi, yeah, and a comment about the altitude that guy was skydiving from.
This is Don, it's your story. People are fascinated by it.
I love this. It's a good feel. What about the skydiving guy?
Yeah, you can survive a parachute fall from 600 feet.
Not if you just got your legs cut off by an airplane, ass.
Well, yeah, that's...
Yeah, we established before that he stuck the landing.
Hello, Don and Mike show. There we go. Hello.
Yes?
You're on the air.
Yes, I wanted to talk about the Russell Crowe song.
These are people going way back in the show.
Yeah, it's a great song. Hard to believe it's not a hit.
Well, surprised none of the call about the skydiver. I understand when they investigated the accident, they were stumped.
Which is more surprising, that you're calling about Russell Crowe's song, or that nobody's... hold on.
We have a call? Cell phone ringing? Yes, no?
I don't know. Hold on. No, it was just a light. If I hold it a certain way, it looks like the little green LED thing is...
Oh, I see. It's, yeah, the holographic thing.
Now, do you both... Do you have them on ring or vibrate?
Vibrate.
Okay. Ooh, dummies, turn them on ring, please.
Oh, it's radio. Sakes.
What are you doing?
You'd like to hear them ring.
Dummies.
Dummies!
And no dialing while you're doing that.
Big dummies.
Come on, dummies.
Okay.
Dummies.
Shut up!
Shut up!
Okay. Hello? Okay, what about Russell Crowe?
Well, he said it would make men and women cry, make them think, and call their parents.
Right,
correct.
Yeah.
Don't you get the same effect from Michael Jackson?
Okay, that's official. The show has stopped.
Okay, now, guys, you're in here watching us do the show.
Now, you see how we have to handle that. That's our job.
What would you
do? Thanks for derailing it.
That's right.
Well, actually, we probably derailed it with nobody calling us, but...
No, you guys are okay.
That's part of the game. We were prepared for that.
You're here with your phone.
But the Michael Jackson, I'm not sure... What are you doing?
Get out of here.
Jesus.
Shut up! You know, you guys have now been here.
God! Why can't somebody call their phone?
Thanks, Napoleon.
God!
This is your second segment on the show.
Yeah.
None of your friends... Now,
no one's even dialing. How stupid is that?
I'd be willing to take half the blame. To say, well, maybe they're not listening to our show. But I find that hard to believe.
It would have worked. It would have worked. If you told me what you were doing. That's how it would have worked. It would have been fine.
Phone ringing.
Phone ringing. Which one?
Kevin's
phone.
Nice ringtone.
Nice ring.
Yeah, nice ring.
It's
FOMO.
It's pretty. Hey, Sting's the best movie ever.
Hello. Hello.
Oh no.
Hold on. Swear to God, it ain't there. It's a voicemail. voicemail.
Well, let's see. If the voicemail is somebody calling and they didn't get through, that happens in this studio a lot.
I have a hard time getting reception sometimes.
You put it on speaker?
No. Hold on a second. For goodness sakes. Hello?
The test came back.
Hold on. Can you hear? I'm going to put this on the air. Say that again.
I know Kevin.
You know Kevin, and why? And why are you calling?
Why are you calling?
Springfield District Democratic Committee with
him. And why are you calling?
I know Kevin. I heard him on a mic show. That's
the right answer. Winner.
I guess in an Elvis suit.
It's one of your Democratic Committee people.
Winner. Hi, honey. Listen.
Does that have that has a speaker function? You can probably talk to the speaker.
Press up. There you go. Hello, you're on the air now with all of us with your speakerphone. Hi, what's your name?
You press the up button.
I didn't touch the button.
I know, he did. Come on, Kevin.
I heard it better when it was just coming out loud out of the phone.
Right.
Okay, now where's the speaker on this thing?
It should be on the volume.
Hello?
Hello?
Okay, I'm here.
There we go.
That's good.
Jesus.
Well, thank goodness you saved us a ton of embarrassment.
Yeah, she did.
Yeah. How long have you been listening to the show today? Just get in your car?
I got about... about 5:45 or so.
Excellent.
You've tortured him this long?
That's good. Now, this guy, how well do you know this guy? Kevin. Ryan.
Kevin.
Kevin.
Reception.
Like Charlie
We're in a metal building. It's very different, right?
Are you hot?
No, I'm old.
You're old?
You can be old and hot.
Sure.
I don't know. I'm not too bad
for
being old, but, you know.
I think Kevin ought to take her to Las Vegas since she was the one that called.
How would you describe your relationship with Kevin?
Excellent question.
Describe our relationship with Kevin?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The same Democratic Committee.
Yeah, but, you know, beyond that.
Yeah, does he ever stuff your ballot box?
That is my entire relationship with Kevin.
Are you a married lady?
Am I married? Yes.
Yes. She is married. Okay.
And I'm pretty much as close as it can be.
Oh, you're engaged?
Nice.
Now listen, you either are or you aren't.
Yes,
okay?
God, Kevin, you are a nerd.
Hold on.
What? Here's the loser call.
Hello? No, this is not Jason. Can I help you?
Another camper.
No, this is Jason. This is Jason's phone. Can I help you?
Sadly, he's passed.
Don's on the phone with two people.
This is Brad. You're calling for your friend Jason. Why is that? Heard he's on the radio. Yeah.
You dollar short.
Jason has news for you. You're a big, fat loser, and I hate your guts.
I could have taken you.
Do you have speaker?
I do.
All right, can you turn yours on speaker?
Hold on.
So now we get both these people talking to each other.
Do you want me to hold this one on speaker?
Yeah, would you please, Mike? That'd be great. Right.
What's this guy? What's your name, sir?
Brad.
Oh, Brad, you heard it. You're a big loser. You're late. Kevin won.
Why? What?
Yeah, check out the small brain on Brad.
What do you think of that, Brad?
There's nothing I can do.
That's true.
Hey, hot lady, are you still there?
Oh, dear.
Hello?
Brad's still here.
She done hung up.
It doesn't matter if she's gone, because Kevin's still the winner. Jason, you have anything you want to say to Brad?
Thanks for calling, Brad.
You can say that. You can say he can't hear you over there. He can hear you.
Sorry about poker Saturday night. I wish you would have called sooner.
What happened during poker, Brad?
Yeah. Oh, never got a call. Just go over there and play poker. I heard nothing.
Oh,
poker.
Oh, that's a shame.
I ended up finding a game at someone else's house, so that's okay.
Well, hey, Mike.
Yeah.
Ask him if he's jealous that Jason's going camping with another man.
Brad, are you aware of the fact that Jason's going camping with another man?
What? No, I've never heard anything about that.
Exactly. Homo.
You've never heard about Jason's gay camping trips?
No, luckily no.
Okay. Anything more for Brad? John, do you have anything more for Brad? anything further for Brad, the second caller, Mr. Daylight Dollar Short?
No, just tell him, goddamn, I don't know what to tell him.
Brad, next time, remember, how is your memory? Has been to Pickle Park, Brad?
No, I have not.
It's a wonderful place. You got to stop on your way home. Thank you, Brad.
All right, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Thank bye-bye. See, everybody that left the station who was so scared, that's how you play the fickle finger. And Kevin?
Oh,
congratulations, my friend, for you, a trip for two to Las Vegas, courtesy of Independence Air. Visit flyeye.com and start saving today. Independence Air, go your own way. Jason. enjoy your Ron Mexico shirt.
Yeah, there you go. See? Nobody leaves empty-handed.
That's courtesy right. of DonandMikeWebsite.com. You're both great guys. Thanks for coming down.
Thank you, Don and Mike.
Thanks for having us.
Okay, thank you.
Guys. See you later, fellas.
Thank you for being brave enough to come down. Because I am not kidding. Beth Ann said people, men and women...
Were afraid?
Coming by going... Well, what do they want to do with my phone?
Weenies.
I said, we're not going to break your phone.
Look, I didn't recognize those two guys. They must have been the last guys up because there were a lot of other people out in the lobby.
Did you see the Chinaman out there?
I saw another fellow who was waiting in the lobby.
Yeah.
Why would the Chinaman care? If you kept his phone, he could build another one in the basement.
Rob. In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden,
when he's right, he's right.
Chinaman found a way to bring good news.
So quick.
He made it up.
You know, I'm not laughing at those anymore.
No, because they're not funny.
I just encourage you.
They're factual. They're not funny.
I just encourage you.
Buzz, what is your lead story tonight?
Here we go again. Man finds human skin in Arby's sandwich.
No.
Yes.
You're kidding me.
Yes.
I wouldn't kid about it.
Oh, it's my better God. Than you could ever imagine.
Yeah. Wow.
Stay tuned for news and comment. Here's coming up coming on up. The Don and Mike Show.
That was very...
I go to a basement now.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
How are you anyway? The Don and Mike Show.
Yeah. www.donandmikewebsite.com. You get the audio highlight, daily program log, bunch of nice pictures. DonandMikeWebsite.com. Joni Wadley, Shalimar, you guys can do your little dance if you want, indicating I've selected a song that somehow...
I was kind of doing a hair pull dance.
Yeah. A hair pull dance is totally different. That's well, I get very drunk and mad at Frida.
Brock's kind of fun. It's not fun when you try the stairs.
Brock taught it to me. Buzz?
Yes.
News and comments now brought to you by Smoke Break.
This is good. Smoke?
Yeah, you could use that, Buzz. Smokers break the nasty habit without gaining weight. Smoke Break, revolutionary tablet for smokers. Get it now at fine retailers. And here is Buzz, still wearing his pink sweater. Hi, Buzz.
Feeling proud. Hi, Donna Mike. A man is suing an Arby's franchise for $50,000. Because he says he found a 3/4-inch long piece of human skin in the lettuce on his chicken sandwich.
That is so gross. Yeah.
The health department there in Dayton, Ohio, is backing up the man's claim.
Dayton means the day that grown-ups play. Dayton means acting in a silly way.
They say the manager at one location did, in fact, cut a bit of skin off his thumb while slicing lettuce. The health department says the manager did everything he thought he was supposed to do. He sanitized the area. He just didn't throw away the lettuce.
How is Mr. Skin? We don't have him on the show anymore.
Skin is the best part of a chicken sandwich.
Just so you'll know, fast food managers are under constant pressure to prevent the wasting of food to keep costs down. Maybe that's why he didn't throw out the lettuce, or obviously he didn't know the skin was in there.
You don't throw away lettuce, Buzz.
That's right.
Under any circumstance.
So I guess that's one case where it didn't taste like chicken.
No, not so much.
That wasn't Mr. Skin, it was Bob Skin.
Sorry about the piece of skin in your Caesar salad. But yes, Doc. I like the onion rings.
The onion rings.
It was at Arby's, you know, Ken.
Oh, that's right.
I'm going to switch now from Bob Skin to Ken Beatrice. Now, I limit myself to 2 milkshakes a month. And I don't touch the curly fries, but I love the skin that's in my salad. Human skin.
Well, ever since the incident, the manager's been wearing a bandage on his right thumb under a latex glove.
Oh.
The franchise.
Ken Beatrice.
You're next. And I love the way they treat me at Arby's with the skin. They show their human skin a care and decency that they pass on to you, the consumer.
The franchise owner tried to settle out of court, but David Scheiding has rejected that offer. He says he saw a human fingerprint
and that it made him sick.
You know what? And Buzz...
So the guy cut the whole tip of his thumb off. Yeah, I've seen a photograph of the piece, and it's the center part of the thumb where the fingerprint is. That's the part he sliced off, probably on the Hobart slicer or whatever.
You could eat that. And how much does the guy want?
$50,000.
See, now, to me, not only is that believable because the guy really got the real thing,
right?
But $50,000,
not huge.
It seems like, okay.
Yeah, to a major food chain, I mean, something that's going to, make you ill.
Right. I ate a piece of a guy's finger in your sandwich. Seems to me it would shoot higher. That's why, God rest his soul, we miss Mr. Johnny right now.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, Johnny would get more money. There'd be another zero in that equation.
God needed another lawyer.
That's right, yeah. Because God ate a salad with a finger in it. Wendy's isn't firing the manager. They're supporting him. They're saying that he did what he thought was right, and he didn't do this on purpose. And besides, if they fired him, they'd have to pay him severance.
Yeah, most fast food restaurants don't allow tips.
Republicans.
Listen, I just want to say for the record.
Yes.
Wendy Rieger's is a great place to eat.
Yes, it is.
I'll bet.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
Republicans.
Wendy's.
Wendy Rieger's. Sometimes it's a little stale.
Yeah.
Sometimes
talk about bad skin.
The bread's a little stale.
Everybody has a day.
There was a piece of Wendy Rieger's skin. You'd say, why are there pieces of pumpernickel on this? Because it would be all of...
Yummy.
She's got like the fish... Never mind.
Be more like salsa.
I saw a promo on Channel 4. Uh-huh. Wendy Rieger is the closest that it comes in this town to a piece of ass.
Yes, she is.
And I saw a promo on Channel 4 with her and Susan Kidd.
She's held up well, too, Wendy Rieger.
Oh, God, I hope they don't make Susan Kidd for sweeps do the diet thing again. Right. You know, she's like Big Mama. Let her be Big Mama. But I saw an ad today where they're showing the other side of these women that do Live at 5, the newscast. Right. And it's Wendy Rieger, with a bad pockmarked skin going... Yeah. What's the first concert you ever went to? Like they're really having... And then Susan Kidd says,
the OJs. That looks like...
And then she goes, for me, it was Johnny Winter.
Yeah. That's my girl.
Yeah, baby.
And I got banged by 8 guys after the show.
But I wouldn't do the OJs. I had 12 boxes of ho-hos after the show.
Don't you think for sweeps, they should see how much weight she can put on?
But
Joe Krebs goes, I went to see Mitch Miller.
Susan Kidd is a big woman, and more power to her.
But yeah, I like her.
Poor Channel 4. Every time they get into sweeps, they put her in one of those dumb things. You want to really do that with someone? Try it with Liz Crenshaw.
Oh, and they're warming up for sweeps because you're getting all the diet things. Like the Dateline.
Mm-hmm.
Did anybody see the Dateline about the psychology of dieting?
Yeah.
And if you're next to somebody who doesn't eat another spoonful of ice cream, you might not eat it either. Weird. And then the psychologist comes on and says, this brilliant observation. We're influenced by the people that are closest to us. Wow! What a brilliant insight!
That's right.
Think?
A lot of thought went into
that. Unbelievable. And when we brought the fat lady in who was dieting, and when we walked out of the room, we told her she could eat as many cookies as she wanted. Now watch what happens when our hidden camera shows her eat one, then two, then three, then four. Well, of course.
You told her she could have as many as she wanted.
You said she could. She's a fat chick, and you told her she could eat as many as she wanted.
Right.
And they show it like it's this big hidden camera.
Hello.
Unbelievable. But then they got one. They left one lady on there that was a fat lady that didn't go for it. She said, "Well, I just don't." They stressed the people out. They said it's a show that stress causes people to eat by showing them a kid's puzzle that was for anagrams that they couldn't figure out because they weren't real words.
What?
So that would stress people.
Make them hungry.
And then that would make them stressed out. And then they wheel in the ice cream and cookies. And you see a couple of the fat lady just in
unscramble the word salad.
And then she ended the whole report talking to one of the ladies saying, "Fat, dumb, and stupid is no way to go through life, son." A leading rabbi is telling Jews that taking Viagra is okay, even during Passover. That's our story when we return.
Wow.
This is Michael Hoffman, and you're listening to Jew to Jew.
And incidentally, I'm here on Passover.
Yes.
Not because I'm not religious, right. But because I've got a commitment to God, mm-hmm. and I've got a commitment to you, our listeners.
Mm-hmm. All right, thank you for letting us have that blue pill. And thank you, Jag, for just materializing.
There's a piece of skin in my Viagra.
Boy, what a finger.
It's not kosher.
Buzz?
Yes.
Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Definitely fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show. Hoot 'em out. Love the Don and Mike Show.
Ride it out. Back to Guy Birdley. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Oh, hold on.
Yes, Steve?
You ready, Steve?
Right, you, Andy.
Andy?
Okay.
Yeah.
How about Mick?
Mick?
Okay. All right, fellas, let's go.
All right, fellas.
All right, let's go. There they go.
Boy, that was quick.
That's the best part. A leading rabbi is telling Jews that taking Viagra is okay even during Passover. The Jewish holiday has strict dietary laws, and until now, Viagra was off the menu because its coating was not considered acceptable. The Pfizer drug company, which makes Viagra, was listening.
Who are these people?
And now they make a Viagra capsule that comes in a kosher gelatin coating. And with that, the president of the New York Board of Rabbis went on the radio to give Viagra a rigid thumbs up. Quoting the rabbi, Viagra gives new meaning to the classic question asked in the Passover service. Why is this night different from all other nights? For break out the tinfoil hat, scientists say they can now read your unconscious thoughts with a simple brain scan.
Oh, no.
In fact, they say...
Guarantee there's nothing in there, Hank. I'm drinking.
They say they can read the thoughts that are so deep you're not even aware you're having them at the moment.
Like, welcome to Deep Thoughts. Remember
Jack Handy?
That was a very great funny. Phil Hartman bit on Saturday Night Live.
That was
deep
great.
Deep Thoughts.
They can read thoughts like racial prejudice or latent homosexuality.
Oh, that's not deep.
Ricardo Limon.
Tony Diggs.
Repressed memories or hidden fears. Mm-hmm. The researchers...
Well, he's black.
Okay.
Use an MRI to monitor blood flow.
Yeah, I see fish.
Different thoughts activate different parts of the brain. Quoting one doctor, this is the first basic step to reading somebody's mind.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I think you just surprised Tony. I didn't know he knew he was black. He just made that indication through the figure window.
Who, me?
Did he really?
Yeah. Well, I think it's going to change the way he sees everything now.
Tony, you should know.
You'll really be pissed.
I see no color.
That's right. That's
I
right.
see no color.
Unlike your cranium... Big cranium over here.
Because of that surgery you had?
That's right. Corrective surgery.
Yes. We can fix that.
You want to thank the people at the center for those eyes.
You don't need an MRI to figure out what Rufus T. Matthews is thinking.
Rufus
was trying to sell his modest brick house in Richmond, Virginia for $83,000. When Neely Pitts asked him about it, he told her...
This is Robert the Mailman.
He told her that there was a restriction. Well, Rufus is actually white. Neely Pitts...
Doesn't matter.
Not so much.
Robert the Mailman.
He plays Robert the Mailman every day, white or black.
Well, why'd you have to mention that, Buzz? Because Rufus is such a brother name.
When
Neely... This is Robert the Mailman.
Well, Rufus Thomas, walking the dog.
Because Neely Pitts...
Rufus featuring Chaka Khan.
That's right.
Chaka Khan. Chaka Khan.
Neely Pitts is in this story, and she is an African-American. And
well, now, that's a redneck name.
She asked Rufus about the house that... had a for sale sign in front of it. He told her there's a restriction on the deed that would only allow the house to be sold to a white person.
No, this is Robert the Mailman.
Not a black person like Neely. He told her, and I quote, "We decided we're going to keep this area right here all white." Later, he told officials the house wasn't really for sale, therefore he's innocent. After 3 years of bureaucratic red tape, the Virginia Attorney General's office finally preparing to take Rufus D. Matthews to court for violating fair housing laws. Deed discrimination's been illegal since 1948.
This is Robert the Mailman.
Yeah.
Ow! And finally, in Russia this week, they're celebrating the 60th anniversary of the Soviet victory over the Nazis. Celebrating a number of ways, including a circus show that includes monkeys, dressed in Nazi uniforms, reenacting wartime stories.
Oh, dear.
Circus officials say they considered animals.
Rob's Spiewak production.
They say they considered animals because, quoting one official, people see Nazis as beasts anyway.
Please put the armband back on the chimp.
And of the animals they considered, they chose monkeys because, quoting that official, you cannot dress a horse like a Nazi. I'm Buzz Burbank.
You've never been to the stables with Ron.
Yes, Spiewak stables.
Don and Mike Show.
Who are you?
Buzz Burbank.
No.
I said we got to fly. Ron and Fez will be on WJFK in an hour. Stand by for the Larry Michael. Washington Redskins did everything they possibly could in the draft show.
I predict he's going to be pleased with the draft.
Yeah.
You think so?
I'm guessing.
Because you know Larry is opinionated.
He is. He'll tell it like it is.
He's not afraid to tell it like it is.
Am I the only one who thinks we did the best of any other team?
Ah, come on, Larry. You got the job. Ron and Fez coming up after that. We'll see you tomorrow. Go to our website, DonnaMikeWebsite.com. Good day to you, sir.
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 And you.
Let's build a cell phone in my basement.
Hello.
When we meet again, Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.
This is the Don and Mike Show.